Wall Street Mustachio, back at it again. NFL, today's episode, stick around. Welcome back, everybody. Culture Punch Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. So before we get started, I want to go ahead and give a quick shout out to Creeps, the producer. He's the one that produces all the beats for the podcast. I've mentioned him before. So I want to give him a quick shout out. If you want to give him a follow, he's on Twitter at OnCreeps, or you can follow him on Instagram at Creeps on Dem Beats with a Z at the end. So we got Troy in the building today, and I want to give Troy a quick shout out. I gave him one last time, and I messed up your handle, so I apologize. I believe on Twitter you are Troy M. Rivas. Instagram, you can follow him at Troy Mulis. Troy Mulis, yes, right? And then Facebook is Troy M. Rivas as well,
yes,
right?
Sir.
And then Navigation Realty, if you need to find a home, go follow that. Go follow the podcast on Facebook, Instagram at Culture Punch Podcast. You want to follow us on Twitter, it's Culture_Punch. So now we got a mouthful out of the way. Real excited about today's episode. We were talking about it a little bit. There's been a lot of things going down in the NFL, and nothing has been bigger in the last, 24, 36 hours than the Odell Beckham trade. So for people who don't know, Odell Beckham got traded to the Browns for a 2019 first and third round pick, as well as, guard and a safety in Jabril Peppers. So, Troy, give me your thoughts. What's going on here, man?
I mean, huge trade. Shout out to the Brown, the Dog Pound. You guys needed some excitement for the longest time. And well, you guys won seven games last year, and that was all the excitement you've had. So as a Ravens fan, I can't talk too much because you guys really upgraded your offense and defense, in my opinion. I thought it was a great trade for the Browns. It's a trade of we're no longer – we want to win, and there's a different mentality, and it starts with Dorsey in the GM box. He came in, and you really saw that he's like, I'm going to bring in talent to win games, and not just to win games so we're not just a 2 or 3 win team. Like, we want to win games, win divisions, make a playoff run, etc. So this was a trade that, I mean, what are the Giants doing, in my opinion? I mean, I see you take away there's a big cap, you don't have that cap hit anymore, that yearly $16-15 million cap hit that you were getting with Odell. He was kind of disgruntled. He hasn't played a full season in how long?
In 2 years.
Exactly. And so you've had like a lot of, in a sense, dead money. He's a great talent, he's this, but you had that dead money there that you're like, we need to get something out of this. We need to get something out of him before we have an Antonio Brown situation or Le'Veon Bell situation where he forces his hand. And he has all the cards in his hand, and we don't. So I think Giants fans who are disappointed by it, are losing a lot of players. Your future's bright if you draft the actual quarterback in the draft, even though there's really not much out there this year. But your future is bright, and I think people are looking at these teams that are giving up a lot. You look at the Steelers, who gave up a lot, who's not taking a hit. The Raiders have assumed all that cap, that guaranteed money from Pittsburgh to Antonio Brown. The Raiders assumed all that. So everyone thought the Steelers got kind of gifted on it. They were kind of didn't, because they're getting, yeah, they got a couple draft picks, but they're not paying Antonio Brown anything. The Raiders did all that. But these teams, you look at teams that are in not really rebuild mode, but salary cap restructure mode. And it's, you look at for the Ravens, I'll go back to Antonio Brown or Odell Beckham. We lost so many talent, a lot of talent on our offensive end, when the wide receivers and our defense end, our two young linebackers, Darius Smith, and then, of course, CJ Mosley. And you look at it now, fans look at things, if you're a Giants fan, if you're a Ravens fan, if you're a Steelers fan, they have lost these big pieces. They look at it and like, man, why? Why would you do that? He's our best this, or he was great at that, or he is this. GMs look at it is, can we win a Super Bowl with this talent around us? Can we win games, or more so than just games? Can we win? Can we make a deep playoff run with this talent? Clearly, the Giants haven't. The Steelers have always found a way to falter against the Patriots or someone in the playoffs. And the Ravens, I mean, we had a decent run, finally won a division, got a playoff game. But we have to look, how can we win? And that's the thing with this Odell Beckham trade. The Browns looked at it and said, well, shoot, this might give us a chance to win. Look at our conference. The Ravens are kind of there. The Bengals, what in God green earth is happening in Cincinnati?
They're in the basement now.
Beyond the basement. And then we don't know what's going to we don't know what kind of team we're going to see with Pittsburgh. We don't know what kind of we'll see, of course. Draft is coming up, so we don't know if Juju Smith-Schuster is going to be that dynamic if he doesn't have Antonio Brown taking a lot of the attention away. We don't know what's going to happen. Now we have Cleveland Browns, which on paper is the best team in the AFC North, because they're sitting there saying, we'll take this on because we want to win. The Giants are looking at it. We've had Odell for X amount of years. He's only been healthy for X amount of years. We're paying him this much money, and we're not winning. We're not in the consideration even of our division, let alone get into the playoffs or a conference championship or anything like that. So I think it was a good move for the Giants, a great move for the Browns. And I guess we'll just see what happens moving forward, because the Giants, to me, as a GM, you look at it, I love him. He sells tickets. He sells this. He's this flashy guy. He's singing in a hot tub with a dude popping up. No, I'm not going to go there. Suspect. But New York is a town about winning games. The Jets are the best team in the state now. On paper. I mean, I'm saying 6-win, 7-win Jets team is the best team in New York. That's not.
I'll say they're doing it better than the Giants. And we'll get to that.
Exactly. So I think good for the Giants, great for the Browns.
I like it in terms of the Browns. I think it's terrible for the Giants. I think that, Pat Shurmur should not be an NFL coach anymore. I think Gettleman as a GM is garbage. But I think on the Browns, and let's start with them. On the Browns, and you have a young quarterback that you brought and you drafted, right? You didn't start with him, but you let him kind of get used to the pace of the game. And you had Tyrod Taylor that was there kind of, you know, help him out, show him the ropes. He comes in and he's a stud. So now you're like, okay, we want to put receivers around you. You did good with Landry. What can you do with Landry and Odell? And that I feel could have been something that was lacking on Odell's part. There was never another counterpart to Odell. When Shepard had a great season, Odell had a great season, they were both healthy. So if you could take a little bit of the pressure away from Odell, I think that he could stay healthier than he has been. He hasn't been healthy in two seasons where he hasn't played full seasons. So that's a risk and a gamble you have to take, because there's a lot of dead money that comes with that. I don't know. There hasn't been anything released as far as how much of the money the Giants are going to pay, because he had a full guarantee.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much of that they're paying and how much the Browns are taking upon, but, I like the fact that you got another wide receiver. You're sending the right message to your fan base that we want to win. You trust your quarterback and you want to put the right pieces around him to do that. Now, here's the problem I have with the Giants. The Giants essentially traded. Let me back up a little. Sorry. Eli Manning is not an NFL caliber quarterback anymore. The only reason why he's still starting was because of Odell. Odell, I feel, made him look good. Yes, he didn't play often, but if you look at the numbers when Odell's on the field to when he's off the field in terms of quarterback rating, all that stuff, Eli is a lot better with Odell on the field. So Odell makes Eli better.
Well, just to, and we could probably talk about this later, I feel the same thing with Big Ben.
Yeah.
How many times did Antonio Brown bail him out with toe tap?
But we're going to get into that. Yeah, that one's next. Now, you take away essentially your best offensive weapon. I know you got Saquon, he came in, he's doing his thing, right? But you still need someone to throw the ball to.
Yeah.
You don't have that. Now, here's the problem that I have with it. I'm going to go on record saying that this is going to be Eli Manning's last season.
Yeah.
If he doesn't retire, it's going to be definitely the last one with the Giants. Only because there's a lot of money invested in him. He's going to look terrible because he doesn't have that weapon. And, you got to remember, he still doesn't have protection.
Yeah.
So the message you're sending is wrong to me, the fan base, because the other issue I have with this is they were still trying to win games. They were saying, we're going to win games. We're going to try to be there to the end, when they should have just lost some games.
Yeah.
Because now they traded their best offensive player. Eventually, they're going to have to make the run to get another quarterback. So what wide receiver is going to be there to make that quarterback look good or help him out? Exactly. Now you don't have that. You want Dwayne Haskins? Well, guess what? If you wouldn't have tried to win that game against Chicago, or if you would have lost a couple of games, you know, instead of having 5 wins, you have 4, even 3, you would have set yourself up to have Haskins. Now you send you send Odell down there to the Browns, and you essentially have a mid-first round pick because it's 17, so you're not going to get Haskins there anyway. So what are you going to do? Are you going to package that with your first round to try to jump up in the trade to get Haskins? You see what I'm saying? There's things that you could have done in the season that'll save you this. The other problem I have with that is that, so again, I don't like the fact that you're going to bring in a new quarterback and you're not going to give him a weapon. But the other thing I don't like about that is the bringing in Jabril Peppers. The reason why I don't like that, I think he's a good player, and I think he's going to do well for the Giants. But the Giants had Landon Collins, and they could have easily have franchise tagged him and then shipped him off. They could have got something for him.
Yeah.
Now he signed with the Redskins on a huge deal. But they could have easily have gotten something for him instead of just letting him walk in free agency and not got nothing. So you essentially let your strong safety walk, and then you traded for another strong safety. So again, you got rid of a wide receiver. Well, so now your quarterback doesn't have any help, and you brought in a safety, which you could have held on to a safety at least for one more year. I don't like it, man. Those are the problems that I have with that. I think the Giants, that's so dumb on the Giants' part, in my opinion.
Well, I think, like I said, good for the Giants in the fact of getting rid of that money, open up their salary cap. Is it going to be great? Are they going to do anything? No. The Browns, great for the Browns. The Browns are in win. Like, we're doing this to win. The Giants we're doing this to kind of figure things out. And the only good thing is they don't have that salary hit every year now. And they don't have whenever his contract was coming up, the grumblings of he wants out or is this, he's going to walk for free agency. So I kind of see the desperation of let's get what we can get out of it. They got a good guard out of it. I will say that. Protect Eli. I mean, whatever. Eli could sit there all day long and still be Eli.
Yeah.
You can't spell elite without Eli. So you have that. And then, like you said, with Landon Collins, I feel the same thing with CJ Mosley. Why not franchise tag him? Why not have the cards in your hand where you could have them for another season? Maybe in the offseason, you could listen to some trade if you want to trade him or whatnot, if you feel like he's not going to return, but franchise tag him. And he should have. Now he's within a division. The only thing I have with Odell Beckham is he's great. He's a talent. He's everything in between. Good dance moves.
But you said, you hit it earlier when you said he sells merchandise. So he brings in fans to the stadium.
But the Browns, no matter how bad they've been, the fans still show up. They've sell out.
I was talking more for the Giants because the Giants, they haven't been as good. They're one of those fan bases that needs to win. And so the front office saying we're going to win is you're doing that to gain the attention of the fans because the fans want to know that you're trying to win. I understand that. But then now, like you said, now you clear up space. So now you're trying to figure things out.
Yeah.
I think they went about it the completely wrong way. Instead of the offseason, they should have lost some games. They could have got the quarterback that they wanted. They could have kept Odell for at least another year because earlier in the season, you remember they were saying, we're not trading. No, there's no way. There's no way. And all of a sudden that dies down and then you ship them off. It just, I understand that you don't want to spend the money, but at the same time, if you don't want to spend the money, it's a business, right?
Yeah.
Eli hasn't been doing anything for you the past 2 years. So Eli, I think, is owed $23 million. If you want to clear some space instead of getting rid of Odell, why not try to package something where you trade Eli off? There's a lot of teams right now that could use a quarterback. I think Arizona would have been a great place for him, just to mention one, because we'll talk about them. I don't want to get into them, but I don't like what they did. That's bottom line. I don't like what the Giants did. I think they send the wrong message to their fan base.
You know what? Speaking of wide receiver pickups, when it comes to the Browns, what the Browns did, a team that, of course, this was before the frenzy that happened this past couple of days, that is pretty under the radar with their accusation is the Oakland Raiders. Of course, you got Antonio Brown. Yeah, you got Antonio Brown. And then they picked up Tyrell Williams yesterday.
Yeah, they picked him up from the San Diego Chargers.
LA Chargers.
LA Chargers. Thank you.
Los
thank
Angeles.
You.
Or
thank you. So I was thinking about the San Diego, what is it? Naval?
Fleet.
Fleet. There you go.
Fleet.
You go.
San Diego Fleet.
Orlando, baby, still undefeated.
Yeah, they're Let's rolling, go. Man. They're rolling. But so to me, here's the thing with the NFL. I love all sports. I'm a big baseball guy. March Madness is around the corner. We got the conference tournaments happening.
Yeah, shouts out to that. Conference tournament's going. We'll talk about that. Baseball's
Lobos
got to start.
Had a comeback win if you're a Lobo fan.
Yeah, but they play Utah State.
Yeah, my Terps play tonight, so let's go beat the Cornhuskers. And March Madness. Yeah, the NBA playoffs on the horizon. NHL playoffs on the horizon. MLB is about to start. UEFA Champions League, which is not big in America anyway. But anyway, yeah, Barcelona.
Juventus, baby, let's go.
And you have 2 days of free agency, and there is nothing else on ESPN. Nothing else on Fox Sports. Nothing on NBC Radio, Sports Radio, CBS. It is football. Mm-hmm. So everyone that thought, oh, football's going to die off, it's going to fall out, you are mistaken. Football will always rue the day when it comes to any American kind sports. Of news. And the draft's coming up too. But yeah, I mean, good for the Browns. They have really one of the best rosters. I think the odds are they're fifth in the Vegas odds to win the Super Bowl, third to come out of the AFC.
Oh my gosh, cut that out. Make the playoffs first.
I'll take the under on that one. Shout out to Ken Frederick
there. Oh yeah, what fan is he now?
He's an Eagles fan.
Eagles.
Fly, okay. Eagles, fly.
So how is he an Eagle fan, but, you know, Mr. Philly himself is not an Eagle fan?
Because Philly's a Florida State fan, reason why, hence why he liked Jameis.
I guess. So
he's a Jameis fan, went to Tampa Bay. And okay. He became an Eagles fan because...
So he's like a player.
It was a player thing.
That's how Ray is with basketball.
Yeah. Ray's a Lakers fan now, right?
I would say so. Yeah. I mean, it would make sense, right?
I mean, the Lakers did better last year with just Lonzo and Brooke Lopez, but we're not going to go there.
Did. And they dropped him.
Exactly.
And Randall,
yeah. And so, but at the end of the day, yeah, they have the Browns third highest out of behind KC and New England to come out of the AFC, or as the AFC number one team in the AFC. Number one team, the Cleveland Browns, their third best odds, and then they're the fifth best to win a Super Bowl next year.
So this is why I think, again, on the Browns' part, I think it was a brilliant thing to send Jabril Peppers in that trade. The Chiefs just cut Eric Berry. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good destination for him to go to. They have options at the safety position because Jackson signed with, I believe it was the Broncos. Gibson signed with the Houston Texans, and then the Honey Badger signed with Kansas City. Yeah. So those big name safeties, they've already signed. But I think that getting rid of him, there is no shortage in safety this year. The Titans cut Cyprian because we signed Kenny Vaccaro. Kenny Vaccaro had such a great year. So Cyprian might be another option for the Browns. He brings that intensity. He's not really a cover guy, but he can hit you, and he won't miss a tackle. So the Browns part, I mean, genius. I think they're doing great things. It's you know, if you're a Browns fan, right now is the time to get excited because there's nothing going on in Cleveland. You know, I don't know how good the Indians are going to do. I know the Cleveland Cavaliers are doing terrible. Yeah. So, you know, if you're in Cleveland, shout out to you. Now, like you already mentioned it, the Antonio Brown trade. Now that one's a little bit more genius on the Raiders part. I know they're taking on that cap again, but all they did was send a 2019 third and fifth round pick to the Pittsburgh Steelers and in exchange for arguably the best wide receiver in the last couple of years. You can argue him and Hopkins. But 30 years old, he's still producing. The story on this guy is amazing. Everyone keeps talking about it. He was played JUCO, then he was a 6th-round pick, and then all of a sudden he's, you know, dropping. He's bailing Ben out of a lot of situations.
Yeah.
So let's start from the Raiders' perspective first. Now, before, you know what, let me pull this up because what I have is the Raiders not only
just signed, baby.
Yeah. Well, like you said, they signed Williams from LA. Chargers, but on top of that, they also signed Brown. They gave Brown a big deal to protect Carr. Yeah. He came over from the
Trent Brown.
Yeah, he came over from the Patriots.
Yeah,
and so that they're sending the right message already. You get a wide receiver, which I don't really like the fact that they got rid of Cooper and then they brought in Brown. It doesn't really make sense to me because, you know, Brown's a lot older. But
remember what they got for Cooper.
Yeah, no, they got a couple first round picks and stuff like that. So they signed Brown a 4-year, $66 million deal with $36.75 guaranteed. Like I said, they bring in Tyrell Williams. They also brought in Joyner the safety. But as far as the offensive side, they're doing great things over there. What are your thoughts on what the Raiders are going to do offensively?
You know what? The Raiders are in, I mean, that division's tough. Now you have, of course, KC, the Chargers, my sleeper pick. We'll see how long Phillip Rivers can do it. Another elite quarterback's in the division now of Joe Flacco. Now you have the Raiders who, in a couple of ways, and we would talk about what we were talking about earlier, they did this move not just to just win, not just to be a competitor, But when they go to Vegas, now they have some big names. You had who? Derek Carr, Amari Cooper, and Marshawn Lynch, if he was still around,
right,
coming over. Like, you didn't have, and then what's his name? Jordy Nelson. I mean, come on now.
Yeah, but I think they cut him, didn't they?
Yeah. So this was last season. Oh, so this is what you had, like, as your star power. And the Raiders, you give it to them. You look at it. They played a lot of teams tough. They played the Chiefs tough twice. They played the Broncos tough. I think one of the games they looked pretty decent against LA. Of course, it's a divisional game. That's what usually happens. But that's something that you see that I think the Raiders did a really good job, not just landing Antonio Brown, but saying, okay, Antonio, you're not going to be on an island out there. We'll get Williams to be on the other side. We'll get some protection in the front. We'll even get some. And the Raiders had the worst secondary when it came to turnovers. And so adding Joyner to that secondary really showed, like, hey, we want to win. But they have all those picks that people are realizing. I was talking to someone like, well, they should have just kept Mark Cooper instead of getting Antonio Brown. It doesn't matter. They gave away little. In a sense of draft picks to get Antonio Brown, which has surer hands than Amari Cooper. Yeah, he's older, but to me, it's surer hands than Amari Cooper. Better feet, and he's a better route runner. Better receiver. Amari Cooper is nowhere near Antonio Brown.
I won't argue with you on that.
Just the age thing.
It's just what I was speaking more in the sense of, like, the message that you're sending your fan base, right? Like you said, you get all these draft picks. Gruden. People really Gruden judge grinders. The Raiders. Yeah, people really judge the Raiders and Gruden. But like we've been saying, let's see what he does in the draft, because he wants to draft his own guys, and he's been pretty good about drafting people. Yeah. You know, he's an offensive guy. He's not really a defensive guy. So more than likely, he's going to try to bring in some more offensive weapons. They need help on the defensive side. So let's see what they do to fix that. But what does it say if you're the quarterback of the Raiders and you see that he brings in a Brown and he brings in a guy to protect you? Asamoah, they let him walk. I have it where he went, but we'll talk about that
Assembly?
Yeah, he left. He's been getting at the end of his thing. Penn is another guy that, you know, didn't do good last season. But what message does that send, that you spend a lot of money, a lot of guaranteed money too, almost $37 million on, would you say he was a great offensive lineman for the Patriots in Brown?
Yeah.
What message does that send if you're a quarterback?
That sends your quarterback, hey, we're backing you. Because everyone was like, the Raiders are going to draft a quarterback in the draft, which they still might. Like, Gruden's all in for Murray. All in. And he said it. I love the kid. I love his. And he looks at, okay, Murray kind of mirrors, Russell Wilson, but more of a Patrick Mahomes. He kind of has that. And that's where we're getting to. And you look at the chosen one, the Rosen one, who is already looking to get traded.
They are considering trading. Would you take Murray?
Oh, yeah.
I would, too.
Yeah. So you have – people are looking, and now you see the evolution of Gruden. So Gruden was this old-time coach. He really – but now he's looking at a – I wouldn't say run first, but a dual threat quarterback.
Right.
Not the typical height of quarterback. We don't know how tall he is.
He's 5'11".
Yeah. Not the typical height of a quarterback, not the typical stature of a quarterback, but the evolution of what a quarterback is looking like moving forward. So now you see the mentality of Gruden. A, you see that he is either willing, okay, if we don't grab our guy, we're going to back you, Carr. We're going to protect the hell out of you, and we're going to give you people to actually throw the football to. They need to still address the running back issue, but they can. They could do it in free agency. Mm-hmm. They could pick someone up, or they could work it in the draft. Then they are moving to Las Vegas. You have Amari Cooper playing in Pittsburgh. Antonio Brown
team.
Playing in Pittsburgh, playing in the AFC North, where it's cold, it's muddy, it's rain, it's windy, and he just lit everything up. You could not guard, you could not catch him. He was just that much faster, that much quicker on the cut in horrible conditions. Now you're in sunny Vegas, and you are playing in a dome, and you're going to be – and the speed of a dome versus the speed of some just grass out there in Pittsburgh in December, where it's frozen like an ice skating rink, is going to be a whole lot different, and it'll be better, hopefully, potentially. I mean, the cuts could hurt his knee.
Well, on your body.
Your body.
Yeah.
So you're looking at – a lot of pluses, not just for the players, not just for the team, but the brand of Oakland or Las Vegas Raiders, the brand of the Raiders, the coming to a new city saying, hey, we're not here just to be here, not just to be another entertainment attraction. We're here to win. We're here to compete, and we're here to be the Raiders of old, of 1970s. Too early
Al
2000s.
Maybe. We'll say Al Davis Raiders. Yeah. Just win, baby, win.
Just win, baby.
Yeah, you know what? I like what they're doing. I think Gruden, like you said, is adjusting his what he would normally go as a prototype quarterback, because the game is a little bit different, so you have to adjust. I don't believe that Carr is that quarterback. I've never believed that he's that quarterback. No. Since day one, I didn't think he was good. And I think what this past season showed is when you have an offensive guru like Gruden, and he wasn't listening to what Gruden was telling him. Gruden would tell him something, and you can tell that Gruden had to come at him gingerly. No pun intended. He would have to come at him like that because Carr would be so sensitive. He has no mental toughness whatsoever, that he had to approach him in a way where he wasn't going to offend his quarterback, because if he offended his quarterback, he was going to play a lot worse the rest of the game than he was prior to that. So he didn't have a great season. So imagine, as a coach, your quarterback is not doing well, and you can't even tell him that he's not doing well, because all he's going to do is complain, get in an argument with you, and then it's going to bring down his performance. So Gruden, for what happened, what transpired last season, I think did an okay job.
Yeah.
But I agree. I don't believe that Carr is your quarterback. Even if he has the physical tools that's needed, the mental toughness is not there.
Yeah.
And if you can't get him to understand that over this course of the offseason, I think you have to, you know, even closer to reaching the draft, if you can't do it, get some value for him, trade him, and see what you can do in the draft. Because exactly. I agree. I don't believe that he's that guy moving forward.
Yeah.
Now, our next step was to talk about a lot of the other stuff that's been going on with trades and things like that. So let's stay within the division. Let's go to the Denver Broncos, because that was big news when it happened. Mm-hmm. Joe Flacco gets traded from the Ravens in exchange for 2019 fourth round pick. So, yeah, he did a lot of great things for you guys. But on top of that, Denver Broncos also they signed Kareem Jackson from, he was a safety for the Houston Texans, signed him to $33 million, 3 years with $23 million guaranteed, and then offensive tackle from Miami and Juwan James. They also let Roby walk. So their corner, Roby, walked. He's with the Texans on a one-year, $10 million deal, I believe. So as far as what the Broncos have done the offseason, do you think so far they have addressed some of the needs that there are, some of the issues they had last season?
I think so. I mean, you still, your front line was still good on the defensive side. Your offensive line wasn't that great, so you at least had it get some pieces, and we'll see what they'll do in the draft. But their issue was Case Keenum. We all knew was a glorified backup.
Yes,
and
which is now with the Redskins. Sorry.
Redskins, yeah. And he had that good run, and that's all you need. And sometimes in NFL, you just need a good year that's decent, but you really saw that game against the Eagles, who the true Case Keenum was, that NFC championship game there. So you had that. Then you had, I think, adding Flacco. Of course, I'm a Ravens fan, and I've seen a lot of Flacco. There's a lot of upside. There's a lot of downside. There's a lot of average. Okay, that's just an average look. But Joe Flacco does have that deep threat. He has a good arm, and if he stays healthy, then you're okay. That's the only issue, is he's an older quarterback, and he hasn't been as healthy lately as he probably would like to be. So I think maybe this gives them an extra win or two. I don't see them splashing in the AFC playoff race or anything like that. I just don't. I'm not sold.
The problem I have with that move, right, is you need to address your offensive line, because it was atrocious. And a lot of people talk so much smack about Case Keenum. If you see what he did with what was given to him with the offensive line, he actually produced better numbers than a lot of other quarterbacks did with, you know, how many under pressures and things he was. So his stats were actually really good. The only problem was there was no protection. You bring in a guy like Joe Flacco who needs that protection, because he's not like a quick gunslinger. Yeah. He's not going to throw fast. He'll get it where he needs to. He's pretty accurate, but he needs a little bit of time. He likes those five-step drops, correct?
Yes.
So you're going to bring in a quarterback that's going to say that's the issue, but you're not going to address the main thing, which is your offensive line. That's the problem I have. Now, there's still time for them to do that, but I don't see how Flacco, like you said, is going to solve all their issues. They might get an extra one or two wins, depending on the Flacco that we get next season, barring any injuries that he may have, because he is getting older. I think he's 34 or 35.
Yeah, 34.
And your offensive line already doesn't protect your quarterback, and now you have an older, a little more fragile quarterback who his body's been definitely weathered by the NFL. So I don't see this move really playing out. I think this is more of a like, I want to look like an evil genius, keep my job kind of move from John Elway.
Yeah. Or I want to be the best quarterback in Broncos history.
You know what? Yeah, there's a conspiracy that he is doing that, right?
Yeah. Have you been to Denver's airport? It's a conspiracy.
Oh my gosh, hands down. Now this one, Kansas City Chiefs. They don't see a lot going on with the Denver Broncos. I don't think they're gonna make that change like we said. But the Kansas City Chiefs, that's one of those teams to look out for. So Houston, he's still available. They're still looking to lock him in. But they signed, like I said, the Honey Badger from the Texans, which I believe he went to the Texans for 1 or 2 years. And now he signed a 3-year, $42 million deal.
Yeah.
They also signed running back Carlos Hyde. You think that's going to be their starting running back?
Probably.
Yeah, you know, and I agree with the message that they sent out by letting go of Kareem Hunt, which was not mentioned, but he signed with the Browns, if you didn't know. So
yep.
Another weapon for the Browns. But I don't.
Is he their kicker?
Right? He should be. I don't know if there's, I don't see any running backs in the draft that they can get that can really come in and do much. They're more of a running back by committee this year. That's what they're going to do. That's going to hurt them a little bit. I don't think they're going to have another phenomenal season like that. They'll probably go like 11-5. They're going to rely a lot on Mahomes. I'm hoping he doesn't, regress because that's the big thing between your second year and sometimes even your third year is some of those things that we praised in his early years, the no-look passes and throwing across your body can start to turn for you easily.
Well, and that's the other thing with Baker Mayfield and Lamar Jackson. You have now, and the NFL has tape on these guys. Like Baker Mayfield did some nice dynamic things with, and he went, 6-3 his last 9 games.
Yeah, he did good.
But now you have tape on him. Because a lot of it was some gimmicky stuff and whatever the case is. And he kind of fainted the run and it took a step back type of thing. So to me, we'll see. Well, because the NFL, as you saw with the Ravens, Lamar Jackson kind of found his groove again in the fourth quarter, a little too late. And we had a chance for a game winning drive. But once you get tape on someone, it's hard for you to continue the same old way of doing things. So that's why I'm hoping Lamar Jackson finds a different groove, different way to doing things. But I think the same thing with Patrick Mahomes. They're, like you said, gimmicky stuff. He was throwing these cross the body, no look, and backwards pass. I mean, it was like NFL street out there half the time with them.
Yep.
But now you're going to have – you have teams, especially in the division, that are shoring up their secondary because that was the biggest thing. Over-the-top balls. You had Tyreek Hill just running like a madman, and he just burnt everyone. He just – Throw it deep, just like chuck and pray pretty much a lot of the times. And so now you have this, your division that's like the Chargers have a great defense. The Broncos are kind of shoring up their secondary. And now giving the opportunity to say, okay, if we have to score point for point, look at the Raiders, we have the ability to score with you. So to me, Kansas City is not going to be that big dog on the block like they were. Yeah, they're going to be a good team. I'm not saying they're going to digress in the sense of being maybe a number one, two, or three seed in the AFC.
But maybe still a favorite to win that division.
Yeah, but now But now you have your rivals in your division saying, okay, we're going to score with you. Yeah, we have quarterbacks now to score with you. Or we have weapons for our quarterback to score with you. If our defense, because clearly Kansas City's defense has been lacking. And so, that's.
So here's the thing, and I don't know what it is, and I'd like you to comment on this. You notice that after a couple years in the NFL, these quarterbacks change their style of play. Now, I know a lot of the time they do it because they don't want to get hurt. I understand that, but Russell Wilson, you mentioned a great thing that sparked, you know, some kind of memory in my brain where you said he'll fake that run and he'll come back and he'll throw it. Russell Wilson used to do that stuff all the time when he was going to Super Bowls, right? He doesn't do that kind of stuff anymore. He's still a good quarterback, but he's not the same quarterback. Now, what is it about after playing a couple years in the NFL that you kind of start to change those things that worked early on in your career? I know you say film, right? And that's a good thing. But in the heat of the moment, if you fake a run, pull back, and you can make an accurate throw, that's going to work every time, regardless how much time you study that, because realistically, you don't know when they're going to run.
Yeah.
So what is it about? My question is, what is it about a young quarterback that is a dual threat that goes away a little bit from the stuff that got him to the NFL and the stuff that made him, you know, stand out their first couple of years?
I think longevity is a big thing. I think you have people are saying, okay, you look at Kaepernick, how they wanted him to be a pocket passer. You see how his kind of everything declined.
Everything about Kaepernick just
yeah,
they ruined him.
Yeah, it really did. And they wanted him to sit in the pocket, and he wasn't that quarterback. He could throw accurately on the scramble on the run, throw a little sidearm ball 40 yards down the field, but he couldn't sit in the pocket, and he will just sky float balls over everyone's head just because that's just not the quarterback he was. I think the same thing. I mean, Lamar Jackson's young, but he needs to learn how to sit in the pocket and make those accurate throws, especially to wide open receivers down the field. I think longevity is one, and two, here's the thing with the quarterback that, I mean, Russell Wilson is fairly accurate. With a quarterback that isn't fairly accurate, especially down the field, they don't care. Beat us over the top. You're not going to beat us on your legs. You're not going to beat us by scrambling around. They'll keep someone sit back to spy on them, and they'll load that box. That's what the Chargers did in the playoff game. Throw it.
Well, they dared Jackson to beat him.
Throw the football. And they're going to do that with everyone. And now, Baker Mayfield, he wasn't a dynamic scrambler. I mean, he had the athleticism to do so. That wasn't his mindset. He wasn't tucking and running or doing like an option or anything like that. But that's a plus for them having the receivers, because now he can be. Now we can have, okay, I could fake the run in and go back type of thing. But I don't think the NFL, I don't think he's as dynamic of a scrambler as Lamar Jackson, as a Patrick Mahomes, as Russell Wilson, where that's a threat to them. So they will sit there and know, okay, his main weapon is these receivers out here. So we're going to sit back. We're going to sit tight and let you do your feints. Yeah, you might run for 6-7 yards, but we're not going to let you throw for 15, 20. Mm-hmm. And so I think the playbook, because who was he throwing to last year? You had Landry. You had the tight end, Noku. And then you had who else?
Which is a great tight end.
Yeah, great tight end. And so he had weapons, but he still was like, crap. I need to probably find some way to make room. And how good is their offensive line going to be? You lost one of your guards.
Yeah. I think, you know what? I think they're going to be all right on offensive, because I think they're going to build it more for like a run first, because they have Chubb and they have Hunt. I think they're going to be okay on the offensive side. But definitely I like the things that they're doing. Now the Chargers, mentioned the Chargers, they signed Thomas Davis from Carolina.
Yeah.
You know, he's a little older, but he's still been producing. He signed to a 2-year deal for $10.5 million. They re-signed a defensive tackle, Brandon Membane. They re-signed Perryman, their linebacker, and they also signed Tyrod Taylor to a 2-year $11 million deal. So they haven't made a bunch of big splashes, but like you said, they've already been good on their defense, so they kept the two keys to their defense. The offense, they lost a receiver. They're like, again, by committee because you know, they don't really have a Stan Allen. Whenever he's healthy, he's good, but you know, to keep him on the field is kind of hard.
Yeah.
Antonio Gates still doing his thing. And so, what do you think the Chargers, how good the Chargers are going to be this year?
I think the Chargers are as good as their defense, and their defense is really damn good. And the Chargers, I mean, you have the running backs, you have the receivers. And then of course, as good as Philip Rivers, see what kind of interception touchdown ratio he might have. But man, that's a team not to sleep on. Like I said last year, they're a well-rounded team. You have Kansas City, whose defense isn't good, especially losing the pieces they had. Yeah, they got Tyrann Mathieu, but that's not going to address their pass rush, which was horrendous last year. And so then you have, to me, they're the most well-rounded team in the AFC West. Clearly a show that they tied the record, but didn't have the win split to win the division last year. But they're the most complete team in that really tough division. And I think they're going to continue to be that, because Philip Rivers stayed healthy for the most part. And now you're adding a couple pieces that just might just help that extra push that they need to just continue to win games. They win games, and their defense win game. Their defense is really good at turning the football over, really good at getting to the quarterback. And that, to me, as much as we're an offensive-minded league when it comes to the penalties, when it comes to the rules, when it comes to everything else, defense, at the end of the day, clearly, you watch the Super Bowl, defense wins it. And the Chargers, LA Chargers, are staying true to that. They're staying true to, okay, you could have all the weapons you want. You could have Antonio Brown. You could have this. We're still going to defend. Mm-hmm. And if you can't, and we could still score, they clearly could still score. If you can't score with us because our defense is that great, then what's the point?
And they're exactly the team to look at when you, in terms of an aging quarterback and protecting your quarterback.
Yeah.
Phillip Rivers had great protection last season, and well, I should say good protection last season, and he was able to do great things with the ball. The Giants, I mean, you know, they're always going to be tied together. Yeah. So, you know, take a page out of the Chargers book, I think would be a good idea. Now, moving on to you were talking about, we mentioned the Cardinals, right? The Rosen one. He is up for trade discussion. He didn't have the season that they expected him to have. Arizona is one of those tough ones because there wasn't a lot going on in Arizona as far as weapons are concerned. I feel like they're all around their talent isn't where it used to be, you know, even 2 years ago, 3 years ago. So it's going to be a little harder, but do you pass up on a Kyler Murray? You know, that's the question that you want to look at. As far as what they've done, they got a guard. They brought in Marcus Gilbert, traded by the Steelers in exchange for a 2019 sixth-round pick. So I'm not sure how good he's going to do. They got Jordan Hicks, they're expected to sign Jordan Hicks. They're in talks right now with a $36 million contract with $20 million guaranteed. They bring in Brett Hundley. That was the old quarterback for the Packers, correct? Mm-hmm. They bring him in as a backup on a 1 year deal, $2 million. They signed the agent Terrell Suggs. I don't know exactly what that's going to do for them. They need younger guys. They need to start transitioning into a younger football team if they're wanting to do anything. So I don't really know what that's gonna do for them. And they also just signed J.R. Sweezy, an offensive guard, a 2 year deal. So they're trying to protect their quarterback. They're also getting a backup quarterback, which in Brett Hundley, which to me, he didn't really pan out.
Yeah.
The Packers talked about him like he was this great quarterback, and when they played him, he sucked, and then they ended up going with Kaiser when they needed to, right? But they're sending the right message and trying to get protection. Now, are you trying to protect Kyler Murray, or are you trying to protect the Rosen one? What do you do there? Do you pass? Do you go?
I think you go with Kyler Murray. I think that especially Arizona, you can't let Kyler Murray go. Because he seems like clearly with Oklahoma, he's a great talent.
Right.
And he is that model of what the Rosen would have been a good quarterback in 2004 in the sense of how the NFL's kind of, the landscape is kind of changing. Kyler Murray now is that model of quarterback, what people are trying to base themselves off. Look at Baker Mayfield, of course, we've already talked about Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson, if you could actually learn how to throw the ball accurately. And then, of course, Patrick Mahomes. You're looking at even Josh Allen. Josh Allen hurdling dudes last year. You're looking at quarterbacks that aren't stationary. And Rosen, of course, he's young, so he's going to have the ability to move. But that's not his – he's not comfortable moving. He's not fluid while he moves. So, to me, if you're Arizona, you got to go all in. You have to. And yeah, you might have two young quarterbacks on your roster if no one picks up the trade. But you have to realize that in your division, where you have San Francisco, who's retooling with Garoppolo, you have Russell Wilson in Seattle, who's always Russell Wilson in Seattle doing up their stuff up there. You have the LA Rams, who, yeah, they lost a couple pieces, but they picked up Eric Weddle. They picked up a couple things. You have to compete. Because you've been the same Arizona Cardinals, and you had like good 2-3 years here and there, but then you're back to the same old Arizona Cardinals. Mm-hmm. That there's already talks of you leaving Arizona, so you have to find a way to truly to win. And why not? You have the pick, you have a position, take it.
Yeah, I think the front office is I don't know what's going on over there. They have a lot of issues, but you need to send the right message to your fan base, and you can't have these rumors be leaking out to the media whether you're going to keep DeRozan or you're going to go with Murray. You should be all in on one or the other, make up your mind, and move forward. So that way the fans, you almost have to be transparent with a fan base like this, because like you said, they're starving for wins. They're starving to be a competitor again.
Yep.
And they had a couple good years with Carson Palmer and a couple years back when they had Warner and those guys, but They're starving for that. They got a taste of it, and they're starving for it.
Exactly.
So either, and it starts with the quarterback. So either you're going to go with DeRozan, he's your guy, or he's not, or you're going to go with Murray. But you need to make up your mind. Now moving on to the Rams, you mentioned that they signed Eric Weddle to a 2 year deal worth up to $12.5 million, and I believe all that's guaranteed.
Yeah.
They also re-signed Dante Feller, which was a mid-season trade from the Jacksonville Jaguars. To them, they signed him on a 1 year, $12 million guaranteed, $14 million worth with salary incentives. Now, the Rams just keep stacking up. Their defense, to me, I know that they held Brady pretty well last, Super Bowl or whatever, But their offense didn't click the way it did. They had some injuries on offense, so it was unfortunate that they had to go out without Cooper or Cup, yeah. Cooper Cup, their best wide receiver, and you know Cook kind of became non-existent, and Gurley, I don't know what happened there, but he wasn't really running the ball.
So he wasn't 100%. He was hurt.
McVay, this all falls on McVay. It just goes to show you coaching, the difference between an old coach, but one of the greatest coaches to coach in the NFL. So you revamp your defense, which your defense did a good job. Your defense was suspect in a lot of games last season. So I get what you're trying to do, but at the same time, in order to progress, your defense already has a pretty good balance, right?
Yeah.
You need to start looking at how can I improve my offense? Maybe get one other receiver that's going to really stand out and help my quarterback out, because the minute we lost Cooper Kupp,
yep,
it was all of a sudden Cook wasn't that guy anymore because he's undersized. It showed his weakness. He's undersized. He's only one dimensional, you know, and so they didn't have that. And they relied a lot on, who was the quarterback from the Bills a couple years back, or the receiver who was, not Quick, not Joe. Who is it?
What's his name? I can't think of it right now.
So he had a phenomenal, finish to the season because he was the guy. He was the guy. He was averaging just under 100 yards, but he was getting a touchdown every time.
Yep.
And he had a couple 100-plus yard games or whatnot. But you need to send the message and let's try to balance out our team. We got a good defense, not a great defense, but you can structure it to where you can get them back on track.
Yeah.
But it's the offense that really lacked and the reason why he lost the Super Bowl. You have this offensive guru in McVay, and it just – nothing he did worked.
Nothing.
So, you know, I think you need to fix that. Anything you have to add on the Rams?
You know what? Yeah. So the Rams, of course, you lost Sue, who's still floating around there. Sue, who picks him up, he's probably going to go to like the Bills.
He's 32 though, right? Yeah. Or 33. He's older.
Yeah. But he still played. He still did his thing. He still wouldn't. But yeah, I think with the Rams, they have to find something that's you saw that they could score. Clearly, the Kansas City game, they could score, but I don't see the Rams digressing. I think the Rams are going to be the class in the NFC still this upcoming season. I think that they had another lacking. Their secondary, even though on paper looked pretty good, really didn't produce as they thought they should. And so I think with Weddle as a general back there, is really going to help out. So I miss Eric Weddle, but I'm glad we got Earl Thomas. Mm-hmm. That's a huge pickup there. So, that's something that I think it's going to be good because they didn't really have in the secondary that leader. You had a bunch of guys that had a lot of ego. You had a lot of ego guys back there playing their position, doing their thing. In a sense of, hey, you know what? This is how I play it. But now you have a general back there that's going to truly, truly, kind of direct things. I think the Browns will be fine.
Yeah. So, Rams.
Rams.
Yeah,
Rams.
Sorry.
I said the Rams.
Did you? I thought you said Browns.
No, Rams.
Sorry.
Rams.
All right. Sorry. That was on me.
Browns ain't going to do
so. That, yeah, I know. They're just a big talk. They've been doing so much. I think that they've 2 years ago, they get eliminated in the NFC Championship, right, to the Eagles. And then last year, they go to the Super Bowl. So they're doing great things over there. They got a bright future, but they only have a window. All teams have a window because you can't hold on to all these players, especially with how everything's going, the money being spent on players. And so.
And that's how I feel about the Browns. Their window is absolutely right now.
Yeah.
But we'll see. The thing is, coordinators don't really turn out that great to be coaches. So we'll see how that everything sets up there. I that's one thing that I'm unsure. Like you said, make the playoffs. You got all this hype on the thing, but when it comes down to it, especially in the AFC North, on paper, we're not as good top to bottom as we used to be. But the AFC North, Odell Beckham's been used to just dancing around. They will smack you in the face. But you got Earl Thomas back there. You got all these guys. They will smack you. The Cincinnati Bengals, it's a bunch of thugs on that team anyway. We all know how the Bengals play. So you have to, you can't be coming in overconfident in the NFL.
And not to mention they got, a tight end coach as their head coach now, Kitchen. So that's going to be a big thing. But
And why not keep, what's his name? From last season,
Williams.
Williams, yeah.
No, I agree.
Why not keep him?
He did good things for you, I know. I think because he's defensive minded, they want something else. But they, I guess, He became the quarterback coach, and then I guess Baker had a good relationship with Kitchens, so maybe this was one of those situations like Mike Mularkey and Mariota where he was like, yeah, I like him, and then they gave him the job. So I don't know. We'll see.
Hopefully it's that situation because that didn't work out.
Yeah. San Francisco 49ers, they signed Quan Alexander from the Bucks, a four-year deal worth $54 million. This, actually, I like. They signed Tevin Coleman to a two-year deal.
Yeah.
Maximum value of $10 million, so that's actually great. Not to mention, they made a trade for outside linebacker D Ford with Kansas City. They gave them a second round draft pick in 2020. And they placed a franchise tag on him.
Yeah.
And then he signed a new 5-year, $87.5 million deal with the Niners. But that's big because now the Niners have always, in me, with, you know, Patrick Willis and those guys, they've always had like a presence on their linebacker.
Yeah.
So D Ford, I think, brings a pretty good intensity. You have good balance in Tevin Coleman as your running back. I think that if not for Freeman, Coleman would have been a starter for that team. He's, I think, a good running back. Now it's his time to shine. Let's see if he can do it. And they need a good balance, so because he's a bowling ball, so they need to get some speed to go along with his bruiser mentality. But they franchise signed Robbie Gould, re-signed Mike Pearson, and re-signed Jimmy Ward at cornerback. So they're doing some good things. It shows that they want to also compete. With Garoppolo healthy, Garoppolo looks good. I think he's only lost like one game as a starter, right? Yeah. And that doesn't say a lot because he's like 5-1. But some of the things that he's done while he started has been impressive. And it goes to show you that they really are all in. Shanahan really is all in because without him, they were lost.
Yeah.
Bierman or whatever that guy's name didn't really do well. And then you had the Mullen guy that came in from Mississippi State.
Yeah, yeah.
He did very well, but you know, you could tell.
Brett Favre Jr.
Yeah. But you could tell that they have their guy. Yeah. I think they paid him $136 million or something.
Yeah.
So San Francisco 49ers, what do you like about them? Do you like what they've done as far as free agency so far?
I think so. Yeah. I think they're the thing with the 49ers. They're just kind of all over the place, and there was like, okay, Garoppolo. It's like, okay, what else? What else do you have going on with them? And now they're plugging little holes. There's still a lot of holes in the 49ers, but they're plugging little holes in the free agency. Because a lot of things, like I was talking to another friend that was like, we didn't do nothing in free agency. I'm like, well, it's not all done. The first day of free agency really is not the like end all. Everyone, first day of free, Browns are the Super Bowl champs, or this person, the Ravens fans are giving up. Like, I'm sitting there like, you got, and I was upset, like, come on, DaCosta, do something. Like you could have franchise tagged them. Of course, we're all on the sidelines, so we're smarter than a GM that got hired and has been doing this forever. But so, and then of course, day two, we're like, oh my gosh, he's the best. Thank you, DaCosta. But everyone is crowning people throughout the first 2-3 days of free agency. Everyone's like, this, my team's going to win Super Bowl because we got this person, that person. But really, they plugged some holes that they could in the free agency, the Niners did. And now, like we say everything, we'll see how they draft.
Yeah, shouts out to Lynch, man. He's a young GM, but he's doing his thing up there. He's on paper. It's looking good. What he's brought in is looking good. They're really molding this culture back to a winning franchise. Yeah. Now, it's up to the players to do their job, and it's up to the coaches to adjust to anything they see. But on paper, it looks good.
Yeah.
Seattle Seahawks, defensive end. They placed a franchise tag on Frank Clark. Mike Lupati, offensive guard. They signed him to a one-year deal. Mikael Kendricks, they re-signed him. Jason Myers, they signed him as a kicker. And KJ Wright, linebacker, he re-signed. So they're holding on to their pieces. We knew Earl Thomas wasn't going to stay there.
Thank you.
The middle finger was the last straw. But there's
what's the better bird?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things to be said about you guys prying him away from the San Francisco 49ers. You know, he's got Sherman in his ear, and I'm sure that was an option, having to play the Seahawks. So whatever it was that broke down at the end, I'm not sure. But as far as the Seahawks, they were a pretty good underrated defense this year for whatever reason. I still think that they need to get some help on the offense.
They do, because the Seattle Seahawks were just like the Ravens last year, run first team.
They didn't even have a
running
game.
Yeah. They had Russell Wilson running like 60% of the snaps.
Yeah, they had Penny, which didn't pan out. And then they got, I forgot who the other running back was, Carson.
Yeah.
And then they brought Penny back. Well, he was with the team, but I'm saying that he started again because he started producing. But it's like, we get it. You don't know who your running back is. Who's catching your balls?
Yeah.
you know,
that and that's the thing. I mean, Seattle is always going to be, because they have the defense in the run game. You saw it last year with Seattle, with Baltimore, that if you control the clock, you can win games, mm-hmm. no matter who you're playing against. You can control. But the thing is, you have a division with the Rams and now with the Niners that have quarterbacks that can sit back and gunsling. And so can Russell Wilson, but who is he throwing the ball to?
Right.
And so that's the thing. It's they got Jason Myers, a kicker, too, from the Jaguars.
Yeah, they do.
Gannikowski had a great career.
Good for you. Yeah, you know, but did he retire, though?
I don't think so.
You know, he hurt himself, so I knew they were going to cut him. So, I don't know. We'll move on. So, Tennessee Titans, they re-signed Kenny Vaccaro. For a lot of people that don't know, Kenny Vaccaro was a free agent. We had Cyprian, and he got hurt, so we brought him in. 4-year, $26 million deal, which was, you know, a no-brainer. He really fits into Mr. P's defense.
Yeah.
We also brought in wide receiver Adam Humphries from the Bucks, which I'm not really happy about that. $36 million, 4-year. But we brought in... So we lost Quentin Spain, but we brought in Roger Saffold from the Patriots.
Yeah.
$44 million deal, 4 years. So that's a good sign. Now, this one is a little suspect for me, right? But because of the length, I would have done a 1-year deal, but we signed Cameron Wake, the defense man from the. So we signed Cameron Wake, 3-year, $23 million deal, 11.5 guaranteed. He's 37 years old. He produced not as good as he has, obviously, but. I would have done a 1-year deal.
Yeah.
And I don't know what kind. He's there to fill Arakpo's shoes, I'm guessing, because Arakpo. Yeah. But we're looking at signing Houston from the Chiefs. So I'm hoping that we can.
So is the Ravens. Come on, baby.
I know. I'm hoping we can get him.
Come to Ravens.
So as far as the Titans, what did you like about them last year? What do you see them doing this year? And what do you like about their picks?
They need to run the football. You got a bruiser of a running back, and you didn't utilize him. To his full potential,
right.
In my opinion. Towards the end of the season, you saw that. You guys had a good run. For whatever reason, Indianapolis Colts always has your number. If Mariota could stay healthy, if your defense was fairly decent, there was nothing. Middle of the road, but that's all you really need to be.
Yeah, I think we were like 7th or something like that. Yeah. Overall.
But overall.
Yeah, yeah.
Run the football. That's the thing with the Tennessee Titans. You have a quarterback that... I wouldn't tell Mariota to run. He can run, but he could get hurt, clearly. But run that ball. If you utilize your run game, that opens up the pass game. That gives him, Mariota, a little more breathing room, a little more breathing space to sit back and find those seam routes, find receivers, find your tight end. So I think feed Henry should be your mantra this year.
He's one of those guys, Marcus, that is. He's one of those guys that fits exactly what I was saying. He changed the way he played, and I know for him it was to stay healthy, right? In his case, it was to stay healthy. But you still need to go and do some of those things that made you look good. Like, for example, you were a great scrambler and throwing off the scramble. You do that now, I understand, but there's a lot of times where the pocket collapses and you'll take a sack, and you'll take like a 12-yard loss sack, mm-hmm. right? Instead of trying to step up, I think that's what's missing.
Ravens.
Yeah. See, step up and step in the pocket, make your throw, or, you know, scramble outside a little bit, buy yourself a little bit of time. And that was the biggest thing. As far as the run game goes, Derrick Henry, we couldn't figure it out with Derrick Henry. We had this bruiser and we could not figure it out. What they were trying to do, what people don't understand is they look at Derrick Henry and they say, oh, this guy's going to truck people all day.
No.
He's an outside runner.
Yeah.
He's not an in between the tackles kind of runner. So, once they changed, once LaFleur changed the whole, I'm not going to run in between the tackles and I'm going to run outside, Henry just did his thing. You know, you mentioned records. He tied the record for longest run in NFL history.
Yeah.
99, whatever, and a half yards or whatever. And so those are good things to bring back that confidence. And so we do need to tailor our offense around him. The problem that I have with that is that for the last 5, 6, 7 years, we've always tailored our offense to the running game.
Yeah.
And so we've almost become predictable.
Yeah.
We've had different coaches, but almost the same outcome. So we need to get over that hump. I don't want to just make the playoffs. I said that before. I was happy not making the playoffs last season. I want to make a run. I don't want to get killed. I want to make a run.
Yeah.
So As far as our defense, I think our defense is looking good. We're doing good things. I think we need to bring in another linebacker, right? But I think we're good on the third round. I think we need to go for Metcalf as a wide receiver. Yeah. That's why I don't like the Humphreys pickup, because we have a lot of guys already. But they're making the right moves in order to stay a contender in that division.
Yeah.
Now, as far as Jacksonville goes, Jacksonville, they made a big splash. They signed Nick Foles, 4 years, $88 million deal with a max value of $102 million.
Yep.
And of course they cut Bortles. Yep. So they finally shed that dead weight. What do you like about that?
Nothing.
Nothing.
No.
Do you think 2 years ago Jacksonville Jaguars could have been in the Super Bowl?
Right? I think so. Yeah.
So everyone says it was their quarterback play. Now, this past year, they're in our division, so I follow them closely. Ramsey had a big mouth, and the minute they started losing games, they were all just quiet.
Yeah.
And they all started almost turning on each other.
Yeah.
And I think that Fowler got out of there when he needed to, because I don't think it was meshing well anymore. They have the better defense than any of these other teams, but they're not owning in on that.
Yeah.
And they need to. So you bring in a guy like Foles now, do you think he can get him over that Blake Bortles hump? And
No, because they have more holes everywhere else. I think the issue with Jacksonville, there was no true leadership there. And
I agree.
You had no leadership on the defense. Your leader on the defense side was Ramsey, who was a great talent, but wasn't a leader. Your leader on the offensive side was Blake Bortles, who everyone knew about Blake Bortles. So Nick Foles really is going to come in as a big man on campus, and he's going to be like Emmitt Smith going to the Cardinals and said, I'm a diamond surrounded by trash. And that's, in theory, it's not true. But you have a Super Bowl MVP quarterback coming to a culture where there really isn't no Jacksonville Jaguar culture. You had your first couple good seasons when you became a franchise, and then you had 2 years ago. And it's like there's no winning culture, there's no winning mindset. It's I'm in North Florida. Like there really isn't that. And you haven't had that. You haven't had that person that's been there, that longevity player that's been in Jacksonville that's like, all right, we're going to mirror our team after this, or I'm going to be the next that. Like you look at, I would say, for example, Baltimore Ravens. When we lost Terrell Suggs, yeah, he was older, but he had that winning leadership, defensive, smack you in the face mindset. Jacksonville never had that. They had the talent, but they never had that culture, that mindset. And so,
but whose fault is that? Is that the players or is that the coaches?
I think it's both and. Because you have to, as players, rally together. You as a coaching staff, you have to, of course, be the one that kind of oversees and say, hey, this is the mindset of our team. As a GM, you come in and say, this is our team. This is what we're here for. We're here to, you look at the Patriots, we're here to win championship, nothing else. Division title, Super Bowl title. Like, that's it. Like, you come in with the mentality, like, we're here to win. We're not here to play a game or to be close or to, we're here to win. And they never had that culture.
But the front office needs to do their part in bringing in veteran leadership, right? To create that balance in order to create that locker room that's going to be united, in that locker room that's going to, you need that. I understand most times that for most teams, it's their quarterbacks, right?
Yeah.
But you guys are a perfect example. You guys never really had that franchise quarterback before Flacco, right? And so who was your guy? Ray Lewis. And then you guys had no fall off when Ray Lewis retired because you had Terrell Suggs.
Yep.
So you've always had that, right? Other teams can mirror that. Everyone depends on their quarterback. Blake Bortles should not be your leader because he's you're a quarterback.
Yep.
If he doesn't have it, he doesn't have it, right? If he does not have it, he doesn't have it. Go to someone who has it. Someone who's going to fire you up. Someone who's really going to bring that intensity to you. That's what I like about what the Titans did last season.
Yeah.
They brought in Logan Ryan from the Patriots last season. This past year, they brought in Butler. So they're bringing in these players that have this experience in the playoffs, Super Bowls, and they're saying, okay, look, we want to surround and tailor our defense to what you guys are familiar with, but we also want you guys to teach these young guys and be those leaders.
Yep.
So you had Brian Arakpo and you had Logan Ryan, who were those guys that were our defensive leaders.
Exactly.
And don't forget, you have Jarrell Casey.
Yep.
So you need to have that balance. Jacksonville has so many. I know they have a lot of young weapons, all around on both sides of the ball. But you need to have that guy or those guys who are going to be able to rally your offense and rally your defense.
Yeah.
And you can't just be because of the position they play.
Exactly, and that's the thing. So that I don't Jacksonville. I don't No. Yeah.
So they don't turn it around this year?
No.
Okay.
No.
Moving on to the Colts. The Colts, they've only done recent, well, they've re-signed, Pierre Desser, which was their cornerback, 3-year deal worth $25 million. Their defensive lineman Hunt, they re-signed him to 2-year or $10 million. But they signed Devin Funchess from the, Panthers.
Yeah.
I don't really like him as a wide receiver. What do you think he's going to do?
I mean, he's in a dome now. I mean, it's just another weapon.
Yeah. He's big. I'll give him that. He's not very fast, but he is big.
Yeah, he yeah.
So maybe he balances out for T.Y. Hilton, because T.Y. Hilton's taking too much of the.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I think the Colts are going to probably be mirror what they did last year. I think it's going to be still a three-headed race with the Colts and the Texans and, of course, the Tennessee Titans there. But I just I don't think the Colts – I don't think any of those teams have the team to make a deep run in the playoffs. I think they have – I think they have the team to fight to win a division – and maybe get out of the first round. I just don't see I don't see anything coming out of that. And maybe even have a wild you might get two teams out of in the playoffs, a wild card team, but I think the Colts are better, but nothing earth shattering where you're like, okay, these guys are a legit threat.
Yeah, as far as the Colts, they need to just mirror what they did last season. I hate to say that, right? But if you protect your quarterback, it shows that Andrew Luck is the reason why you replaced Peyton Manning with him. He's a great quarterback, and it's just about protecting him and giving him his offensive weapons, and he's doing it. They don't have Frank Gore anymore. Yeah. He left. I think he signed with the Bills, but you can easily draft a running back. There's going to be running backs out there for the taking in free agency, so you don't need any rush there if you're a Colt fan. Don't worry about that, because you remember, you made the playoffs last season.
Yeah.
So you made the playoffs. You've added one weapon, and you've held on to what you've had. So those are already good signs for you moving forward. It shows that you have the confidence in growing your talent that's on your roster. But again, we'll see what they do. I think that Houston is still the, the filet mignon of that division, and they've re-signed Jadeveon Clowney. I told you they brought in Bradley Roby from the Broncos at cornerback, and they replaced Jackson at safety position with Gibson, which he comes over from the Jacksonville Jaguars, and he was good. You know, they had a good a pass defense, right? So that just adds to it. They're getting better. They're holding on to pieces, but they're getting better. They're doing those necessary things needed to win.
Exactly.
So again, I still think that they're the leaders of the division. I think you still have to go through them. Watson's balling out. I mean, I don't even know what to say. Hopkins is not slowing down anytime soon. And
he's
those two
monster.
Together
he's
are killer.
A monster, golly. You know, Houston, well, I'm excited to see what Houston will do this year. Because they were, once again, that close. They had it all. And they have the offense to do it. And they lost Clowney. And
no, they kept him.
Oh, they kept Clowney?
Yep. They went ahead and placed the franchise.
Okay, franchise him. Good, good. I saw who, you know, who was trying to pick him up was the Oakland Raiders.
I know.
I saw that. That's what I was looking at.
And they're
at.
Still going to look at it, because right now he's signed as a linebacker, and that's $15.4 million. Defensive ends, check this out. This is how I know that he's not going to be happy. Defensive ends, franchise tag sits at $17.1 million. So if they sign him like a linebacker, it's the same thing that they did with Graham back when he was with the Saints, where they signed him as a tight end and not a receiver when he played more wide receiver. Yeah. That's going to send the wrong message. So we'll see what happens there.
Yeah.
But they have them for one more year right now.
So we'll see what the Texans do. I see the same old Texans next year. I don't see anything, a real jump.
They don't need it though, right?
Yeah.
They had some holes on defense, which they filled them. They replaced Jackson with Gibson, and then they bring in another corner who can defend. And Roby, when given the right coverages, he's not there. You know, they play a lot of zone.
Exactly.
And he does well in the zone.
Yeah. Yeah. So I will see. I think it's going to be interesting to see them moving forward with that. So,
and then a couple years removed from the Super Bowl, Atlanta Falcons, they agreed to terms with Jamon Brown, offensive guard, 3 years, $18.75. Offensive guard James Carpenter and Grady Jarrett, defensive tackle. They placed the franchise tag on him. Now, the Falcons had a lot more issues than what is so far they've made a splash on. What do you think their biggest holes are? And what do you expect to see from Matty Ice?
Health. They were injured the whole season.
Right.
They had dudes that were bagging groceries out there.
Yeah.
That's the issue with Atlanta. I mean, you're in a tough division. I mean, we'll see what happens with Cam Newton after his surgery and all that stuff like that. I don't see the Buccaneers really being much of anything. But the Saints will still be pretty good. But I think the issue with the Atlanta Falcons last year was they couldn't stay healthy at all the entire season. They just running backs, linebackers, everyone was falling to wayside.
I think they lost their two starting linebackers back to back, right? Yeah, one game and then the next game.
Exactly.
Like week two, week three.
So they couldn't stay healthy, but to me, their issue, Matty Ice is a Joe Flacco
2.0.
Negative 2.0. Like I think everyone compared Joe Flacco to Matt Ryan. Because there's moments of just glory, like, oh my God. But then most of the time, you're just like, he's just kind of a middle of the run quarterback. Look at the weapons he has in receiving and the tight end. They should be great. And they play in a dome and a beautiful, amazing dome. So
brand new.
We will see if they stay healthy. I think they're a 10-6 team next year. Because the plus thing is, they didn't have a good season, so they're not playing a tough, they're not playing a division winning or a playoff team schedule. So their schedule should be a little lax, and I think if they stay healthy, they could have a wild card run.
God bless you. God bless you. Yeah, a lot of it depends on the quarterback, though.
Yeah, but
yeah, I know they had their injuries, right? But he wasn't the same guy.
If he could be Matty Ice 2.0 instead of negative 2.0,
then you see something. Yeah, all right, exactly. You mentioned the Carolina Panthers and then Cam Newton finally having surgery. See if he recovers. Now, they've signed center Matt Paradis, and they re-signed Darrell Williams. So they haven't really done much. They need weapons, right? Their defense is okay, but they need weapons.
They need some weapons. I mean, they have the young kid from Maryland there, the wide receiver, who's pretty good.
Well, they used McCaffrey for almost everything. Well, he had the most receiving yards, or the most receptions, the most receiving yards, the most run. He was your number one guy for everything.
Yeah.
And it's good to have that. I don't get me wrong. He's a good player. But you need someone that's going to be a deep threat.
Yeah.
That's not him. He can only run wheel routes.
Exactly. And so we'll see what they do in the draft. I mean, they have an okay defense.
Right.
Their defense is getting a little older, but we'll see what they do in the draft. I really think that that if Greg Olsen could stay healthy, that's a huge deal for them, of course. And if they could get some deep threats, just to kind of, because Cam Newton he's still dynamic. He can still sling that ball, especially down the field. And I think he probably prefers to sling it down the field because they started off hot.
Right.
They started off, what was it, 6-1? And then he finished 7-9.
I don't even know.
They started off super hot.
I thought they had like only 6 wins total.
No, they had 7 wins total. And they started off 1-2. So they went 1-2-3-4-5-6-2. Then they lost.
You know what? Yeah, because weren't the Panthers like on the same thing? Wasn't everybody in that division doing really good?
Yeah, so they started off 6-2. They didn't lost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in a row. And then they beat the Saints at the very end because it was garbage time because Saints already had one seed.
Well, they played a lot of their backup too, right?
And they were close. Lost by 1, lost by 3, lost by 7, lost by 6, lost by 3, 17.
Well, Dan Quinn, he fired his offensive line or his offensive coordinator, right? Yeah. Because on offense, it wasn't just clicking. So he let him go. I think he did that to save his job. Now, you mentioned the Saints, right? So the Saints, they lost Ingram, and they went ahead and signed Latavius Murray from the Vikings. They signed him to a 4-year deal, only worth 14.4. So they're signing him for longer than he got over, less money and longer than they would have for Ingram that you guys signed Ingram for.
Yeah.
They re-signed Will Lutz. Now, the Saints didn't need a lot of tweaking. Their defense was very surprising last season. Yeah. They had a weak defense the year before, and their defense was actually pretty good. They're aging, though. Their quarterback is aging. Ingram, I know he doesn't do a lot, but he's definitely tougher than Murray is. Murray is the same kind of back. But Ingram will keep those legs moving.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, do you think that they have another great season and they make another Super Bowl run?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't see – Kamara is that just that – I think Kamara will just have to step it up.
Yeah.
Losing Ingram. I don't see an issue with the Saints this year. I mean, yes, Drew Brees is aging, but he's healthy.
Yes.
And yes, I think he's smart with his body. I mean, you could say every year, Tom Brady's aging. Tom Brady's a Super Bowl champion. Tom Brady's aging. He's a Super Bowl champion. Like
Tom Brady's aging. He's in the Super Bowl.
He's in a Super Bowl. Yeah. And they play in a dome. Yeah. They're playing in warm weather down in the humid New Orleans, and he's healthy. If he can stay healthy, they're okay. They re-signed Teddy Bridgewater, so they have a decent backup if something happens. So I think they'll be all right.
So Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they had a, I would say, a bad season, right? Yeah. They made a run, I think, at the end there, but
no, they started off. No, yeah, they, no, they were trash.
Yeah, they so they signed offensive outside linebacker Deion Buchanan. They 1 year deal on that. Ryan Griffin is a backup quarterback. They signed him to 2 year, 2.9. Your boy Perriman, they signed him to a 1 year deal.
See ya.
And they re-sign Donovan Smith, offensive tackle, to $41 million, 3 year deal. So they haven't done anything special. Their running game is still suspect. Yeah. Right? They traded DeSean Jackson to the Eagles. They no longer have Humphreys. So your offensive weapons essentially has been cut down, right? I know they had locker room issues with DeSean Jackson there anyway, but their defense wasn't going to carry that team either. Yeah. And you haven't really done anything to really look at those holes. Now, what does that come down to? Does that come down to coaching, or do you think they're going to wait for the draft in order to try to plug some of these holes?
I think they have to wait for the draft because they're no – Tampa Bay is not a very hot, a destination that people are excited for.
Right.
I think they have to wait for the draft. They have to they have to just pick their poison and kind of find what they could mull through the draft because no one wants to go to Tampa Bay.
I agree with you there, yeah. So Baltimore Ravens, let's jump into that division. Let's go, the Ravens, baby. Like I mentioned earlier, signed Ingram to a 3-year, $15 million deal. So, you know, Murray goes 4-year, 14.4. Uh-huh. So that works out. They save a little bit of money there. You guys are able to pry Earl Thomas from the Seahawks.
Welcome.
And potentially the 49ers. There was rumors.
4-year, and $55 million deal. The Browns
wanted him. Okay, yeah. Browns. And you guys re-signed tight end Nick Boyle. 3-year, $18 million. So you guys had a lot of positive things to take away from your season last year. And like you mentioned, if Jackson can learn to throw the ball, because now they're going to have film on him, I feel he's going to be forced to, you guys can still make a splash in that division.
Yeah.
I think you guys have already, you already have the pieces in place to overtake the Steelers. But you guys lost two key linebackers. So,
well, here's the thing where, of course, on paper, we lost Mosley. I knew for sure that we were going to, Za'Darius Smith, we didn't have the money for him. We just didn't have the money for him. When it came to CJ Mosley, I was hoping and thinking, hey, franchise tag him and we'll be good to go from there. But we let him walk.
And not to mention, you guys are needing a safety now that Weddle's gone.
But now we have a safety in Earl Thomas.
Oh, that's true.
So
that's true.
I like our young linebacker. I mean, we still have Judon. We still have Anu Suar. And then Kenny Young, 2 years out of UCLA, balled out last year. He was our backup middle linebacker. He played some outside linebacker. The thing with Kenny Young, the thing that CJ Mosley, yeah, he got the interception at the end of the game to seal the division last year. He couldn't cover. He couldn't cover tight ends. And Kenny Young is younger. He's 24 years old. He can cover. He is a good covering linebacker. So, yes, I'm not saying Kenny Young is on the same level as CJ Mosley, but I feel like for his rookie deal, his rookie contract, we will be okay. I think we have the Terrell Suggs. I love them, miss him. He was that defensive leader. As the outside linebacker, but he slowed down a lot last season. So I think linebacker wise, and we'll see what we do in the draft, but I think we're okay. Our secondary is amazing. We lost Weddle, but I thought we upgraded with Earl Thomas, especially if he could stay healthy.
So I think he's going to be an instant leader for your team, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. So we have a good secondary. Our defensive line is still stout. And our linebacker core is younger. We still have Judon, which his little veteran nature to him. But I think our defense is gone. I don't think our defense is gone.
So that's the message that you guys are saying to your fan base, in my opinion. I think that you guys are saying, okay, look, it's time for the new Ravens, because now you guys let go of Flacco, Mosey's gone. Weddle was only 1 year with your team, right?
Two. It was just third year coming up.
You bring that older veteran, right, that can come there. So now you're saying, okay, we're going to bring in the new generation of the Ravens, the new leaders of the Ravens. Earl Thomas is a good start. Mm-hmm. Jackson, we like you at quarterback. Maybe not built for a leader, right? But you know that you have.
Jackson is a leader. in his own way. And that's the thing. He's not this like, he's not this stand up. He, Jackson, to me, he leads with his play and he takes responsibility.
Right.
If you see the press conference or the interviews after the playoff loss, he said it was all on me. I got to be better.
Yeah.
And he goes, you see in the locker room, Flacco wasn't a leader. Flacco sat there quiet. He, because he didn't need to be, because you had Ray Lewis.
Yeah, he didn't even talk to Jackson but, sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, he was quiet. And then towards the end of the season, you saw kind of, hey, let me discuss. And Flacco, I like Flacco, the fact that he said, I don't need to lead him because he's a different quarterback.
Right.
I want him to be him. I will show him different reads and stuff, but I'm not going to try to pretend I know, am going to teach him how to quarterback because he's a different quarterback. But Flacco wasn't a leader on the offense. Lamar Jackson is. He's young. You saw the spark of energy because we were kind of stumbling through the season. He came in. The fan base was excited. He was, and he fumbled. Every time he fumbled the ball, he's like, man, I got to do better. I got to do, and it was a lot of self-reflection, which I think it shows some maturity. Him driving 105 miles per hour, Instagramming it down the Florida highway yesterday wasn't that mature, but he's young. Well, hopefully he realized that. But I think as a leader, I think he is a leader on the offensive side. Cause we don't really have that true leader. Mark Ingram, I think another Heisman trophy winner there, is going to kind of help him through the ways. Our tight ends are good. I'm not saying we're a Super Bowl caliber team, but I don't think people are going to see us regress as much as they saw after day one of free agency. Everyone was throwing the towel. I think we're going to be fine.
Yeah, you guys are, like, again, sending the right message. We're sending the message that we're moving forward with the new Ravens, the Ravens that you guys can depend on for years to come. So there's nothing wrong with that. People are always going to give backlash for changes because a lot of people don't like changes, right? But sometimes change is necessary. But you guys are doing the right thing. Cincinnati Bengals have done absolutely nothing. Who? The Bengals, exactly. Who? All they've done is re-signed some of their players. They re-signed their linebacker, Brown. They've re-signed Bobby Hart, offensive tackle, and they've re-signed CJ Uzuma. So they're tight end. So they need a lot, but for some reason, they're not going after it. What's going on with the? I mean, what is going on with the freaking Bengals?
Everything. Here's to me wraps up the Cincinnati Bengals team. Last year they had a ceremony for their Super Bowl losing team. It's during the game. To me, it's like Cincinnati. They're always the better of the two in Ohio. They had a couple good years with Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton.
Is he done?
He's done. He's been done.
Okay.
He's been done.
Now, they just got rid of their coach, right?
Yeah.
Marvin Lewis is gone. So who's the head coach there?
The head coach. Who did they hire?
I don't remember who they hired. It's been a while since we've brushed up on. Because that has a lot to do with it. I think. Jackson?
How was A.J. Green? No, Jackson.
Hugh Jackson.
A.J. Green, I'm surprised he's still holding on in Cincinnati. I would be like, and he digressed. He's had some injuries, but. Find a new energy because you're at a team that Cincinnati's not going to do anything.
They have pieces though. They have Ross. Remember they drafted the fastest,
but he got injury.
I know, but what I'm saying is that they have that. They have who's the running back they picked up this past season in the draft?
Oh, they picked up what's his name?
The troublemaker.
Yeah, from Oklahoma. Yeah. He's good.
No, he was from Louisville, wasn't he?
No, Oklahoma. The one that punched the girl. I mean, it's like
I forget his name.
Joe Mixon.
Yeah, so Joe Mixon, right? He brings in a new spark, so you can get rid of the Bernards and get rid of those older guys, right? So
Bernard's still on the roster.
I know, but I'm saying it's like he wasn't producing. Now Mixon is. Now you have a good balance on offense. I think they lost their tight end Croft, right? He ended up signing for a different team, but you had your balance on offense. Your defense was what the problem was. The problem was you had a lot of, like you said, guys just trying to get after guys.
Yeah.
And they were hurting other. They weren't really trying to play the game anymore. And I agree.
Talking about you, perfect.
Yeah, I agree. It starts with your quarterback play, right? But if Andy Dalton's not your guy, you need to move on because you, again, have a short window with the team that you have now in order to do something. And if you're not going to do anything, then you need to start dissecting your team and bringing in, you know, the Gruden theory, bringing in some picks or bringing in some younger talent that's going to help out.
You look at, and I said this before the season started, or the season ended, the Ravens and Browns are revamping their identity. They're going young. They're kind of, I wouldn't say rebuilding, they're retooling. The Bengals and the Steelers are going the opposite direction. They're holding tight with these old quarterbacks. They're holding tight with this old mentality of things that it isn't going to work out. The Browns and the Ravens are on the upside, which we've always kind of been mumbling around. But now we're realizing, well, shoot, if the Browns clearly on roster have probably has the best team in the division, but we need to not mirror the Browns, but we need to retool. Cincinnati is not doing that. They're re-signing players that they have. They're not really going outside the box. We'll see what they do in the draft, but they're not really doing that to truly kind of say, hey, we want to be contenders, because for a while there, they couldn't win a game in the playoffs, but they were contenders. But
10 years or something with no playoff wins or something like that.
Yeah, and they do good during the season, right? But those are good things to take away from your season. Now, you had an awful season. It's time to come back. What are you doing to assure your fans that you're making a change?
Nothing.
Again, we haven't seen the draft, but so far, nothing. Cleveland Browns, on the other hand, we've discussed what they've done. Now, they signed defensive tackle Sheldon Richardson, and they re-signed Greg Robinson. So they have a couple of things that they've done. We'll dive into them shortly, just because we've already talked a lot about the Browns. But they're sending the right message to their fan base. Their fan base has always been there, regardless of how terrible they've been. Yep. Now everyone's all in on Baker Mayfield. Everyone, you're going to start seeing Odell Beckham jerseys everywhere. You might even start seeing some Brown fans.
I would say this. In Albuquerque, there is a Browns backers. There's a ton of them. Like, they're usually there for the first half of the season, first couple of games, and they, like, disappear. But there's a pretty good Browns following.
I've seen Spectators, right?
Yeah, Spectators, a pretty good Browns following. Where we're at, too, at Spectators, the Ravens are. So there's a pretty decent following there. So shouts out to the Browns. I think LeBron James got rid of his Cowboys, became a Browns fan via Instagram. I saw that post there. But it's LeBron James. He's usually skipping out and changing teams. So yeah. He's your GOAT. Whose king is that? Anyway.
We know whose king that is.
Yeah, exactly. But the Browns they're doing things to say, we're here. We're not here. They drafted Baker Mayfield. I watched the Hard Knocks last year. Amazing. And I'm sitting there like, shoot, I could see not just, okay, you watch Hard Knocks every year and you're kind of Tampa Bay. You're like, wow, Tampa Bay's going to be great. No, you're like, okay, this is cool. You're watching the team and you see these talent. But the Browns with Baker Mayfield and everyone had a switch of mentality. That's what the difference was. When Dorsey came in as a GM saying, no, we're switching the mentality here. And Hugh Jackson had a horrible year last year, not just with the sports, but like his sister died, his mom died, dad.
A lot of distractions.
Like there was distractions everywhere.
But as far as drafting, he did good.
He did good.
Give him some credit. Yeah. He's not terrible as bad as people think.
Exactly. And so sadly that him and Baker kind of didn't mesh, because he went with Tyrod at the beginning of the season, which to me was a smart move, and clearly it paid off going with Baker Mayfield. But now you have Baker Mayfield. He's a fiery quarterback. Now you have personalities with Landry, clearly. Landry and his fiery. Odell Beckham and his hot
tubness.
And they're
friends outside of NFL.
Exactly.
Now you bring them together on the same team.
And now you have this. You have young talent, et cetera. So to me, I think the Browns are not just even without the Odell move, I thought the Browns were going to be better. I thought the Browns were going to be a 9-win team this year.
Well, you take away Odell and you take away Landry, right? But these are the pieces that you need to do. You need to bring in the free agency. But you take them away, this has the making of the same Seahawks team that won the Super Bowl. Now, I'm not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl. The reason why I compare them is because the Seahawks drafted all of their guys and made them stars. Right, all the names that you've heard, Earl Thomas and Wagner, Bobby Wagner and Sherman, all those guys, Golden Tate, all those guys were drafted by the Seahawks. Now the Browns are the only other team that I can say has legit trusted the process and has gone all through the draft for almost every single position. You take away a couple of positions now that they brought in some wide receivers, but they legit have gone free agency, this is how we're going to rebuild. And they have some young pieces in place that are really going to be looking good. Jabril Peppers is a big loss, but I think that there's safeties out there you can bring in to replace that, and it's okay.
Yeah.
But you still have your Garretts. You still have your Chubbs. You have Baker. You know, now you have Kareem Hunt to help you out. So you have great – you have Njoku, who's a tight end. He's doing really well. You have great pieces there. So, you know, look out for the Browns. They might do some damage. As far as the Steelers.
Who?
Yeah, the Steelers are moving backwards, like you said. They have pretty much just re-signed Eli Rogers, wide receiver, re-signed McCullers, defensive tackle, and Foster, offensive guard. The only signing that they did was they brought in defensive back Steven Nelson from the Chiefs, $25 million deal. But exactly, they're not doing anything. They're, that whole steel curtain, I don't see it.
No.
Right? There, that's kind of gone, and that's what they built their legacy on. Roethlisberger for the last 3 years has been one foot in, one foot out. And you mentioned the Browns doing good things. You mentioned the Ravens doing good things. You have a veteran quarterback, but you bring in a young quarterback to kind of transition that. What's the Steelers' excuse? They know Roethlisberger is going to be out, but yet they haven't made a jump in what who their next quarterback is going to be.
Well, they got Mason Rudolph a couple years ago from Oklahoma State, and Roethlisberger did not like the move. Well, 2 years ago, last year, they picked up Mason Rudolph.
Right.
And their Mason Rudolph was going to be the future of their team, and Roethlisberger.
But we haven't seen anything from him, don't know. If he's good or not.
Yeah, Dobbs was in there every time what's name was out, but Ben Roethlisberger was out. So, I'm saying they're digressing in the sense of what is their future. I still think the Steelers are going to be a decent team. You had Connor.
It's the Steelers. Of course they're going to be good, yeah.
Yeah, James Connor, who played very well last year. Juju Smith-Schuster. We'll see if the removal of Antonio Brown, see if he gets, of course, he'll get all the shine and see if he can still excel in that. And then you still have your tight ends. You still have you have McDonald and such. So you still have a decent. I don't know. Ryan Switzer was kind of fun watching him running around out there.
Yeah,
but their defense it wasn't that great last year. Their secondary wasn't that great. And I don't think they did anything to really truly kind of bump it up. Cameron Hayward's still pretty solid on the defensive tackle side of things. But you'll see TJ Watt was good, but you'll see.
He's a bright, he's one of the bright spots for that
exactly.
team.
And I would say shots out for them re-signing Shazier so he can still have the medical stuff.
Yeah, you
so,
know what? That's big.
Yeah, I'll give a lot of props to the Pittsburgh Steelers for that. But next year, I don't see the Steelers digressing in a sense of they're going to be Cincinnati. They're not basement dwellers.
Well, they're not going to make the playoffs, so I'll tell you that.
No. I think with us and with the Browns, of course, it's going to be a tough race in the AFC North.
Smith-Schuster, like you said, is he going to be that guy now that he doesn't have the, because a lot of guys look good, right? And then you make them the number one, and it's like, oh, you know what? They were only good because a lot of the attention was on the other side of the field.
Well, and then Antonio Brown was bailing out Big Ben on so many throws.
He's always had that. So I think Schuster's going to be the same guy.
Yeah.
He had, who's the one that caught the Super Bowl pass? I can't remember his name.
Oh,
he went to the Jets.
Wasn't Wallace. It was, I know you're talking about.
So he had Ward, you had number 17, that guy, right? And then now you had Antonio Brown. So it's like they always get those freaking wide receivers that bail Ben out.
Yeah.
And Ben needs that because he's not one of those guys that can carry a team anymore. Not by himself, not without a little bit of help. And you take away Le'Veon Bell, you know, he's not that big of an impact because Connor stepped up.
Yeah.
But everyone's aging.
Exactly.
You know, the offensive line is aging. I'm not saying Connor's aging. He's young. But I'm saying that the team that you saw last year is not going to be the same team you see next year. And I think you're going to start to see a little bit more of those holes exposed.
Yeah.
Now, moving on to the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills signed Cole Beasley, wide receiver out of Dallas. They signed John Brown.
Out of the Ravens.
Yeah, out of the Ravens. You liked John Brown, right?
I do. Yeah,
I did. That was bad for you guys. They pick up Frank Gore. They pick up Kevin Johnson. Kevin Johnson comes by way of, he was already with the Bills. So they just re-signed him. And then Tyler Kroft, they're the ones that picked up Kroft from the Bengals, tight end. And so they're doing a lot of things. I mean, this kind of goes on and on. So they're trying to improve their offensive line, it looks like, because they signed a center and an offensive tackle to protect Allen. You get him a speedy wide receiver. Cole, I think, is more of like a, you know, drop-down kind of slot receiver and third-down kind of guy because he's not really that big and he doesn't have the greatest of hands. But bringing in Brown, bringing in a veteran like Gore, bringing in these older guys are really going to bring a good balance to the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
Now, do they make a run? I don't think so.
No. That division is still and will always be the Patriots division until Tom Brady gives it up.
And then the Dolphins falling, right? But the Jets are making a good splash with that, you know, so we'll jump over to the Jets since we don't believe they're doing anything. One thing I will say about the Bills really quickly though.
Well, the Jets, they picked up defense. They got
a running game now.
Yeah. And say what you want to say, The quarterback, Sam Donald.
Yeah.
He had some bright spots last year.
He
did. He had some bright
spots. Look at the game. Was it against the Lions where he just went like madman, like 400 yards or something crazy?
And now you have a new regime. I see the Jets being better. I don't see them Patriots style, but they're being better. I think they're better than, I think they're the second best team in that division.
Yeah, you know what? So I agree with you. The Jets have really made a splash. The big name, obviously, Le'Veon Bell signs a 4-year contract worth $52 million, which is crazy because they only gave him $25 million guaranteed. So I thought he was going to get more. Now, I believe that's still the highest for running back, right, so far?
Yeah. Todd Gurley's still getting
more. Oh, you're right, And then they brought in Josh Bellamy, wide receiver from the Bears, and then they brought in Jameson Crowder from
CJ Mosley, too.
Yeah. So I think that as far as wide receiver goes, Jameson Crowder coming over from Washington, I think he's going to be the better receiver than Bellamy, but they got a pretty good balance, right? Bellamy needs to work on his hands. His hands aren't that great. Another big signing, CJ Mosley, 5-year, $85 million with $51 million guaranteed. Now, I can understand why you can't compete with that. But like I said, Osamele, they bring him in from the Raiders. They traded a 2019 sixth-round pick. Now, bright spots for the Jets. There were some last season.
Yeah, there were some. I think the issue with they need an offensive-minded coach out there. I think the Jets are going – and now the Jets are the team in New York City. Or New Jersey.
New Jersey. Meadowlands.
Yeah, exactly. But I think the Jets are going to be I think they're going to be the second best team. And I think they're going to probably push the Patriots. I mean, at least be a game or two out and then kind of see how far they could go. I don't think the Dolphins are much of anything. But I really think the Jets, I mean, CJ Mosley is a good leader. He's a good middle linebacker. And you need a minor linebacker to go against Tom Brady.
Right.
Because we all know Tom Brady's we know his routes. We know what balls he's throwing. So you need a good middle linebacker. And they have I think their mock is to pick up a defensive lineman in a draft. So Le'Veon Bell, I think he played himself without signing with the Steelers last year, which I'm okay with. But actually, and there's rumors that no one else wanted him but the Jets.
Jets were the talk. From the get-go.
Yeah.
It was always going to be the Jets. There was a couple other teams that talked about it, but they weren't really serious about it.
Well, there's reports that came out, I was listening to on the radio, the reports came out that the reason why the Jets even went that high was because they were mumblings of the Ravens want to sign him. This person team wants to sign the Raiders. So they had these mumblings. They're going to reunite with Brown.
I remember
but
that.
But in Baltimore, we'd even reach out to their agent. So it was rumblings to push that price tag up for the Jets to go all in on them, which that's as high as they
went. Smart marketing on the Steelers, right?
Well, smart marketing on the behalf of the agent.
All right, the agent, yes.
Probably bad for relationships down the line because they boy cry wolf type of thing.
But he's, 28? He signed a 4-year deal. So by the time his deal expired, he's not going to be the same running back. Because we all know running backs only last about 28, 29 anyway.
Exactly.
But he did take a year off. So, those fresh legs. New England Patriots, they bring in Michael Bennett. They traded the Eagles a freaking 7th-round pick in exchange for a 5th-round pick and Michael Bennett. Are you kidding me? How do the Patriots get away with doing this? How does Belichick continuously look like a freaking genius? Why are people dealing with the Patriots? You could have sent Michael Bennett for something way better than that somewhere else.
Yeah.
Why?
Because he's the GOAT. Bill Belichick, he doesn't care, man. He has that Annapolis, Maryland mentality where it's just like, I'm giving you this. I don't care what you think. It's just, he is... Hate them or love them, the Patriots are the Patriots. They get their massages, they do their Spygate, they do stuff.
The greatest cheaters, huh?
But if you're not cheating, you're not trying.
Because they didn't do anything else. Philip Dorsett, they re-signed him, and then they re-signed Jason McCourty.
And we'll see. There's still rumblings of Gronk retiring. He said he was going to say something.
Yeah, but I think he's waiting on Brady because he said that. If they're talking about trading him again, he'll retire because
his agent was on Peter King a couple weeks ago or a couple days ago, actually beginning of this week.
Yes.
Saying that Gronk loves football, but he understands his worth outside of it when it comes to endorsements, entertainment, et cetera, et cetera. So
the Tide Pods, that guy,
Yeah.
Tide Pod. He can't even say Tide Pods.
Yeah.
And he's telling me his worth outside of football.
Yeah. Yeah.
What the WWE is his next place to go.
Because Ronda Rousey's out, so you get someone,
right? I guess. Dolphins, I guess. Dwayne Allen, they signed him to a 2-year deal worth $7 million. And Eric Rowe, they bring him in on a 1-year deal worth $3.5 million. So,
how much cocaine is that?
Yeah. But, well, yeah, true, right? Here's the thing. The Dolphins. Do they still have what's his name as coach? No, he went to the Jets. Jace Jets. Oh my gosh, I forgot the Jets signed him. So who do the Dolphins pick up? I've been more focused on players than I am the coaches. That doesn't even matter. They're not making the playoffs, right?
Yeah,
there's no way they make the playoffs. Let's move on. We talked about the Panthers. Bears, here we go. This division's interesting. So shouts out Jordan.
But Brian Flores, the guy from the Patriots.
Nah, that doesn't matter. All right, everyone that leaves Belichick every time they face, but yeah, so come on, let's do it. So Bears, they signed running back, whoops, clicked on the wrong thing. They signed running back Mike Davis.
Yeah.
They signed running back Mike Davis to a 2-year deal worth $6 million. Cordarrelle Patterson, they bring him in as I'm guessing a punt returner, kick return, 2-year, $10 million. And they sign Butler Skrine from the Jets. So not too familiar with him, but 3 years worth $16 million. So it looks like he's going to be a backup. Now, the Bears already had a phenomenal defense. Trubisky did his – he played his role, and he played it well. You lose Bellamy. You don't really have a wide receiver core out there, but yet you're doing it. You know, Howard slowing down, so you're running game. And even the – who's the other running back they have over there? He didn't have that great of a season.
No.
So – your offense is slowing down a little bit. I think you focus in the draft, you focus on your offense because your defense is your defense. So I think you can kind of lean on them for the season again. As far as winning the division and things like that, you know, you're going to have some competition elsewhere. But what do you like about what the Bears have done?
I think the Bears are just making moves just to kind of put things. I think Patterson's a big pickup for the Bears. Again, they didn't do too much. I mean, they got a cornerback. Then, of course, I think they're doing the right things to stay consistent to who they are.
Right.
I think the Bears are the class of that division. I don't think Minnesota's going to have that turnaround. Kirk Cousins, I just don't have faith in Kirk Cousins.
I think they need to.
They need to, but they won't. The Bears are going to win that division again next year. And we'll see what they do in the draft on wide receiver things, but they have an offensive line. They have their defense clearly as their defense. And they're kind of back to that smash mouth football. Mm-hmm. But now they have a quarterback that is actually worth something. He's not a Rex Grossman quarterback. So, the Bears, I think if they address their weapons on the outside, stay healthy, I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, I think the big loss for them was Adrian Amos at safety. He goes to the Green Bay Packers on a 4-year deal worth $37 million. They also invested on Preston Smith, outside defensive end from the Redskins. They signed him to $52 million, 4 years. They also signed Za'Darius Smith from, you guessed it, the Baltimore Ravens. They signed him to a $66 million deal. So they're bringing in some pass rushers. That's one of the biggest things that they lacked, where they didn't have really no pressure on the ball, and their secondary was pretty atrocious. So it's got to be more than the offense. The Green Bay Packers are the Green Bay Packers. As long as you have Aaron Rodgers, you have a chance to win.
No.
You don't think so?
Nope.
I think so. And I think that with these moves that you've made on the defensive end, you're sending the message to the fan base that we're going to improve our weaknesses while not really improving our offense, still relying on Aaron Rodgers way too much. That's their problem. That's been their problem for years, is they put too much weight on Rodgers' shoulders.
Well, I wouldn't say that it's put too much weight on Rodgers' shoulders. I mean... Here's the thing. Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback. There's nothing. He got his Super Bowl ring and stuff like that. He's a dynamic quarterback. I think Aaron Rodgers got this polarizing image of, I'm the best quarterback. You had the rumblings. Is he better than Tom Brady? Yeah, you could pull out stats. We don't want to get in that argument. But I think Aaron Rodgers thought he was this, like, God walking amongst just mortals,
us
mere
peasants.
Mortals. Exactly. And Aaron Rodgers, yeah, he was good, but they didn't have a team around him. I just don't think I think the I don't see the Green Bay Packers. I think they'll rebouncing. They're not going to be a 5-6 win team, but the Bears are better. The Vikings are better.
Yeah.
Even the Lions are better.
I don't know about the Lions.
They're a better team. The Lions had a team last year that, of course, Matthew Stafford to me is in that league of Matt Ryan, Andy Dalton, Ben Roethlisberger that's on their way out.
He's more of a, okay.
And not saying he's as good, but he's
compared to Andy Dalton, I'd say yes, right there.
Yeah. So he's on his way out, but their defense got better. They picked up, what's his name from the Patriots? 90 mil. Golly, he got paid.
Who's that?
Shoot, what's his name?
Who's that? The Packers did?
Yeah, no. The Lions. Their defensive end from the Patriots. The guy that, what is it? He probably should have won the MVP in the Super Bowl. He got picked up for 90 mil. It's like,
what? I don't see that on here.
Watch here. For the Detroit Lions. Gosh.
All I have for Detroit is Danny Amendola, Justin Coleman, Trey Flowers.
Trey Flowers. That's who it was.
It says 5-year deal worth more than $16 million a year. So, yeah, that's the guy they picked up for $90 million.
Trey Flowers. Yeah.
Okay. I read that wrong because, yeah, Trey Flowers, I was like, $16 million? He's worth way more than that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the Lions are doing good things. They're doing what they have to compete in that division because they know the talent that's on in Minnesota
and they
Chicago.
Picked up a lot of they picked up a lot of old Patriots.
Amendola, Flowers.
And there was a couple other ones. I was reading it. But I think you saw glimpses of, okay, I can see where this Lions team's going. They have a defensive-minded coach, and it's going to take a while to kind of change that culture of Detroit. But I think Detroit Lions have the shot to – that division is going to be tighter than most people think. But I think the Detroit Lions are going to be in that mix of not winning the division, maybe a second place right outside the wild card thing. I think the Detroit Lions will be a better team than they have been and what people expect to be.
Looking at their track record, if I have to pick who I'm trusting more, the Packers or the Lions to compete with the Vikings and Bears, I'm picking the Packers all day. The Lions have done some good things. They still haven't addressed their running back issues, which they need to because that's been the problem in Stafford's whole tenure with the Lions is they never had a running game, so they've never had that person to bail him out. He looked good when he had a wide receiver to bail him out, but you know there's only certain Megatrons that come along, right? And he doesn't have them anymore, so it starts to show what kind of quarterback he is. But given the track record, I trust the Packers more. You want to surround them with defense. Now you're taking a little bit of weight off of Rodgers' shoulders. He still has a lot, but you know you're doing the right things. I think Minnesota, though, I think they turn it around. I think they make the playoffs. I don't know if they win the division.
No, but I think the NFC is. I think there's too many teams out there that will knock them out of that wild card spot. That are doing the right things. I don't think Minnesota's doing the right things.
We'll see. I mean, they paid him good money. If you look on paper. On paper, Cousins actually didn't have a bad year. He actually had a pretty good year. But it was the rest of the team fell off.
And so did Matthew Stafford. On paper, he had a great year. Mm-hmm. He threw for almost 4,000 yards or something.
But because it's a team sport, you look at everything else that factors into you winning games and you start having to address them.
Well, you look at Kirk Cousins that he had a shot to make the playoffs last year. They had a win to get in.
That's where it really showed. And that's where he just completely didn't show up.
You look at Kirk
Cousins. He started yelling at everybody. Yeah, remember? Yeah. It was
and people are going to remember that. I just don't think they have what it takes in the NFC to make that run.
Right. So then moving on to the Dallas Cowboys, America's quote-unquote team,
I guess.
How
about the Cowboys?
Tavon Austin, he re-signs with the Cowboys. Cameron Fleming agrees to deal with the Cowboys. They place a franchise tag worth more than $20 million on DeMarcus Lawrence. You don't let him go. And the big signing Cowboy fans can get excited about is your favorite Cowboy, Jason Witten, is coming out of retirement.
Get him out of the booth, trash.
Because he wants to win. Now that you guys are winning, made the playoffs, I think now's the right time for him to come back. And I think it's deserving because he has been loyal to your fan base. He deserves to have a great season, even if he's being carried by your team. Good for Witten. And maybe this will give him a little bit more knowledge of the game so he can sound a little bit better in the booth. What do you think?
I just don't think he should go back in the booth.
I don't think he's going to go back to what was it, like Sunday night or Monday night
football.
Yeah, he's not going to go back to Monday night. I think they put him on like the Bills game or something. Yeah, the Bills.
Well, I think the Cowboys are. I think they're going to. The thing with the Cowboys lately, you can say what you want to say about your boy Jerry Jones is kind of controlling the GM role, controlling everything really. they've been drafting pretty well. They've been drafting offensive linemen well. They, of course, got Ezekiel Elliott. They've been drafting fairly well. So we'll see what they do in this draft. They need to address, I think, Amari Cooper with the full offseason is going to bode well. I think they need to address maybe a little more on the, I think it's the right guard, is their one of their weeks. They stay healthy, I guess.
Right.
Their defense got better. I like the young Vander Esch yeah. from Boise State.
Boise
shout out,
State.
Shout out to the Mountain West.
Breeding those white big men everywhere. Yeah.
But he became a leader. I think their defense is going to be better. I think with the division, the Giants not going to do anything. I don't think the Redskins are going to amount to much. The Eagles, we'll see what happens with the Eagles. I mean, they got Carson Wentz. They don't have – their Carson Wentz is like make or break. If he breaks, yeah. then – who do they got back
in the portals?
Exactly. So I think we're going to see. I don't see a. I think the Dallas Cowboys will be fine this year. Probably going to be competing with the division with the Eagles.
So I just want to rewind really quickly because I realized we skipped all the Vikings. You guys did a good job at retaining Anthony Barr. He almost went to the Jets. You guys re-signed him 5 years, $67.5 million. You guys also agreed terms with Shamar Stephen, defensive tackle, 3 year, $12.45 million. Now as far as the Dallas Cowboys go. You have to keep Lawrence and you have to keep S. That's your cornerstone key players for your defense for years to yeah. come. So you, whatever you do, you got to hold on to those guys. Now they had a draft out a defensive back from the guy from, Colorado State. I can't remember his name. Oh no, out of Colorado. He's been doing really good for mm-hmm. them, right?
Yeah.
And so that was the pick that I wanted the Titans to pick up. He went in the second round, very underrated, but he's doing good things for them. So their defense, they have good pieces on defense. And it goes to show when you protect your quarterback, Dak Prescott can win you ball games.
Yep.
Now, there's a lot of talk of people saying, he's not a franchise guy, this and that. I think there's way too much pressure on Dak Prescott given that he was a fourth round pick.
Yeah.
So you didn't give up a lot for him. You never had high hopes for this kid.
You're not paying him much.
And he's showing up. So I think you guys need to, Jerry Jones needs to take a page out of Al Davis's book and pay the media to say some good things about your quarterback.
Exactly.
So, you keep your quarterback protected.
Or don't pay them, so that's his value.
I guess so. But here's the thing. If you continuously talk smack about your quarterback or you don't back your quarterback the way you should, it's just going to be a matter of time before he leaves.
Yeah.
Right? And you need that guy because you struggle to find quarterbacks, right? In the past, that's been known after Aikman, it was a struggle. And then you got lucky with Romo. Now you got lucky with Dak. So hold on to the kid.
Yeah.
You know, he'll win you ball games. You know, they still may compete in that division. I think the Eagles win it this year though. But, you know, we mentioned the Giants not doing anything. They signed Antoine Bethea, 2 year deal. They get Jabril Prepper. So that's all they've done so far. And, they're not doing anything. And I don't see them doing anything that's going to make a big splash. So they're not going to be contenders, within your division. Now the Philadelphia Eagles, you know, they re-signed the defensive end Graham. They traded for Jackson, which it was a seventh round pick. And they bring in Malik Jackson, a defensive tackle for, 3 years, $30 million. So they're doing things that they need to get better. You mentioned it. Carson Wentz, you're all in. Can he stay healthy? Can he stay healthy?
Yeah, that's the thing. Everyone could, like, if he's healthy, he's a pretty decent threat.
I agree, yes.
But if he can't stay healthy, that's the make or break for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, you no longer have St. Nick to back you.
No.
Right?
No, St. Nick. That's a better nickname. Is that a big? Yeah. Anyway. so you don't – it's make or break. I mean, you have Nate Sudfeld. He's your backup quarterback. I mean, they'll probably pick up someone.
I'm telling you, they're probably going to bring Bortles in. Yeah. Watch.
But yeah, it's just.
If Gabbert can make a name as a backup in this league, Bortles can make a name as a backup in this league. Who knows? They might even bring Sanchez.
Or Kaepernick. Oh, wait.
They won't bring Kaepernick, man. We're not there yet. All right, moving on to the Washington Redskins. Who? Yeah. Big money splash on Landon Collins, $84 million, $45 million guaranteed, 6 year deal. Case Keenum comes in. That's going to be good relief. The problem is Alex Smith does not get hurt. So he got hurt this last year. I don't really think he's going to get hurt again.
Fix that field. stuff.
Yeah, I think he's going to be fine. You know, he had injury issues.
Peterson's back, baby.
Yeah, he is. Good for him. $2-year, $8 million deal. He's going to be your premier running back there in Washington. So, you know, you guys are, I mean, I think they're doing good things.
Yeah.
They have a chance. If they were looking, they were the best team in that division up until Alex Smith got hurt. Yep. So if he can stay healthy, then, you know, they got to fix some wide receiver issues now because they lost, what, two wide receivers?
Yeah.
So you know, you got to get your that side of the ball figured out, but you can rely on your running back. That's been shown. Taking that year off really helped them out. But I mean,
Well, because their main running back was hurt last year, got hurt right away. Mm-hmm. Geis was hurt, and it was, so we'll see what.
And so, I think he lost his spot. I really do. I don't see anything that Peterson did to, not to win that spot.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. Bright spots. Shout out to
Adrian Peterson. I think he's seventh on the list rushing.
Man, good for him. Overall, he deserves it too, man. He deserves it too. I mentioned Ross earlier. I had like a spat on Instagram on Chris Johnson's Instagram because. I wouldn't say a spat. It was like just we were going back and forth, debate friendly. He had posted his run, and I said the true 4.24, right? Because if you look at it, Ross, they kind of And so this guy was like, "What would the NFL gain from rigging the clock to make him Ross look faster than Chris Johnson?" I said it brings excitement to the combine and everything leading up to it because now records are being broken. That's what the NFL wants to see.
Exactly.
So, you know, shouts out to Chris Johnson. He never reached 10,000 yards. I wish he would have. He could have played two more years and I think he could have done it. But to his credit, he said if he's not the CJ that he 2K, he doesn't want to run. And so he cleared up roster spots for other people. So I got to give him credit there. But NFL season, Troy, you mentioned it, man. Everyone's excited about it. That's what's taking over all the sports outlets. Draft
is coming up.
Yeah, draft is coming up. We're going to go ahead and cover that
Game of Thrones.
So Game of Thrones. What is it, a week away now?
No, about a month.
A month. Okay, so I have a month to catch up and watch all the episodes.
If you started watching 2 days ago, episode a day, you would have caught up. So you had to watch like an episode, maybe two a day.
Oh, I can do that.
You're going to binge. You're going to start watching and keep watching and hell to the Lannisters.
All right. Well, let's see it now. And this is a little off subject. Still football, but Johnny Manziel forced his way out of Canada. I don't know if you heard about this. Mm-hmm. He was given the option to fix whatever issues that they had. And he declined, so the league ousted him. He's no longer allowed in the CFL.
Nope.
The rights to Johnny Manziel are owned by San Antonio Commanders, I believe, so AAF. But there has been talks that maybe he may go to the XFL. I don't know how that will work because Vince McMahon has said rapists and whatever Donald Trump he said none of those allowed in his league.
Build the wall.
And so I don't know, but they pay their quarterbacks $300,000 a year is what they're said to pay them.
Yeah.
And the AAF, they pay them, I think it's like $80,000 a year or something that. So, you know, you get paid more money in the XFL. San Antonio owns the rights to them. San Antonio was undefeated and now they're like, they've been on losing streaks. So they need something that's going to spark fan base.
Texas boy being there.
It is halfway during the season though. There's only eight teams. So they're already at the halfway mark. For you guys who haven't been watching, there's been some exciting games. Go Orlando. They look really good. Birmingham lost. They don't look as good. Their quarterback Perez doesn't look as good as he did. Yeah, and Trent Richardson just can score 2 yard runs. But yeah, exciting stuff, man. Anything you want to add before we get out of here?
You know what? I know it was a long one, but this is mainly for our overseas listeners. Formula One is back. If you're a Formula One fan, I'm a huge Formula One fan. Team Mercedes, Team Haas for the US of A. But Formula One's back in 6 hours. The Grand Prix weekend starts.
6 hours?
6 hours.
I've never followed Formula One.
Okay, if you want to get into it.
Anything like that.
NASCAR is cool. Formula One, there's just such rich history with it. There is it's like F1 something on Netflix. Watch it. It's amazing. They go through last season, through most of the teams. You had not, except for Team Mercedes, because Team Mercedes is all about winning them championships. They didn't give a crap about the camera stuff, but they go through the different teams. We had a couple of mix-ups. If you're an F1 fan, of course, Daniel Ricciardo from Australia went from Red Bull to Team Renault. So that's kind of a big thing. But F1, it's amazing. Watch it. They have two races. They have the Austin, Race of Americas, and then they have one in LA. It's so much fun. I think it's a racing that a lot of people can get into because there's a lot of drama. They're not as there's regulations, of course, to the engines, but they're not as regulated as NASCAR, where everything kind of has to mirror each other. So you have like Mercedes engineers are just that much, they just tool that much better than Hondas and Renaults and Aston Martins and McLarens and et cetera. So you, it's really interesting to see the engineering behind it and the everything about Formula One. It's, I love Formula One. Lewis Hamilton is the man, and I've been a fan of his since watching him kind of go up through the ranks. But Team Haas is an American team, which is kind of neat, and I think they got finished fifth in the rankings last year. But outside of this, we'll talk Formula One. I think you'll get into it.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. I have actually sat and watched some Formula One. NASCAR, watched it live one time in the pit, so that was really cool. But it's not for me, right? And I will tell you that Formula One, it was definitely more exciting and has been more exciting. I've seen it and I've watched it as I've grown up a little bit, right? Nothing where I can name, you know, sponsorships and you know, racers and things like that, but it is definitely more entertaining than NASCAR to me. So, you know, we really appreciate you guys listening in. Again, if you want to follow Troy, that's Troy M. Rivas. That's Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Troy Mulis, right? Yeah. Producer of all the music. If you guys are looking for beats or anything for your studio needs, Creeps on Dem Beats, that's his Instagram handle. He's also on Twitter on Creeps. And if you want to follow the podcast, Instagram, Facebook, at Culture Punch Podcast. Twitter is going to be at @Culture_Punch. Again, thank you guys for tuning in. Stick around for certain episodes that we'll be releasing soon. I'm in the middle of that Leaving Neverland thing. So I have a good thing on how I want to tie that and talk about that with R. Kelly. So I'd like to actually know what you think about that. So
it's a bad time for wedding DJs because they got to cut those songs out of their playlist.
Shouts out at DJ Styles Services. He was the guest last time. So, you know, if you guys haven't given him a follow, give him a follow. Shouts out to him. You know, Mr. Italian Stallion, self-proclaimed. But thank you guys for tuning in. Hope you guys enjoyed the episode. And Mr. Mustachio, thank you for coming in.
No problem. Go Ravens.
All right. Well, yeah, we'll talk to you guys again.
Thank you for listening.